This show is brought to you by Headspace. Go to headspace.com/Joey right now and download the free Headspace app and begin their Take 10 program for 10 days of guided meditation. That's headspace.com/Joey and download the free Headspace app. Show is also brought to you by Onnit.com. Go to Onnit.com and use code word CHURCH to get 10% off all of the great optimization products like Alpha Brain and New Mood.
So I was telling my Uncle Mike Dowd that we used to open up the show with music. I would drop something on you in the middle to get your fucking heart pumping, and then I would leave you with something just to leave you in the mood of the show, something that you thought about before the show started. But YouTube takes the fucking music down. So for you people who keep breaking my balls, what happened to the music, Joe? You know I love fucking music. You just don't stop playing music. I never met a more dumb society than what we're living in. What did we do? We stopped putting them on YouTube. Something happened. People started hitting me back like, you haven't done the podcast in 3 months.
Right.
What are you talking? Are you that fucking retarded? Have you considered iTunes, motherfucker? Or do you think YouTube is the only fucking viewing platform here in the world? It's very funny that people think it's over. Like, well, I hadn't seen your podcast on YouTube. No, because they pull it down.
So you go to iTunes and they can get your...
Yeah, and Libsyn. And, you know, all you got to do is Google. All fucking day you sit there and you Google porn actresses and VDs.
Right.
Travel points with your fucking retarded wife, but you can't put. Wait, what happened to the church or what's happening now? Oh shit, it's on Libsyn. It's on fucking iTunes. Oh my God, what a fucking invention.
How often did you run into that as a cop, Mike? Just people thinking you were stupid, or I don't even know what the right term would be, but you get lied to 1,000 times a day.
I tell you a quick story. I had a kid. He had a broken leg. He stole a bike from someone's house. It was late at night. He stole a bike. He's standing in front of me talking to me. Black kid in the neighborhood. Woman sticks her head out the window. He says, "I said, where do you live?" He goes, front apartment right up there, second floor. I go, really? Woman, about 90-year-old woman with gray hair, white woman, says, "Is this your grandson, your nephew?" They try it any way they can, but the kid was slick. I loved him because he was slick. He knew how he had an answer. He was quick. He says, "I live upstairs." Well, he had the screwdriver in his pocket, the flashlight, the bike, everything. And he was selling a story to me. I couldn't believe how quick he was. 16-year-old kid, smart as a whip. I actually admired him for that. He had a good answer.
You took his weed and you said, get the fuck.
No, he stole a bike. We hate to lock him up, but I mean, for Christ's sakes, for a bike, but, you know.
I have a lot of fucking retarded friends, and they contact me every day, and they tell me to watch these documentaries. And between you and I, these documentaries last 4 minutes, and I shut them down.
Right.
Sometimes it's about topics I really don't give a fuck about. Sometimes it's a New York-y topic that I kind of like, but I've already heard it. And I look at these guys, and I know they're bullshitting me.
Right.
I watched the 7-5, and I'm telling you why you're sitting here. The things I loved about you. You know, I loved at the end, you know, how you spoke about this fucking guy hurting you. It was painful. And I'm sensitive as fuck. Right. I will shoot you. But, right. You know, you do something dumb. And I tell Lee all the time, I go, Lee, I take Lee off count. I go, Lee, how many times has that guy called to do the podcast and done this? The guy didn't invite us to his little party because there was going to be other people there. And I tell Lee, I go, Lee, I'm not mad. I just want you to see how life works.
Right.
10 years ago, it used to hurt my feelings.
Right.
Now I look at people and I go, what a fucking shame. I pray for you.
Right.
You pray for
them. Grow up.
But you said something that was beautiful that I know Lee has on his paper. Because I saw this as a young kid, and I can't believe this still happens in society. And I wasn't even a cop, okay? And I saw this. You said after about 2 years, you see it for what the fuck it is.
Right.
I know that question is on your thing, Lee. You see it for what the fuck it is, and now,
you start to fade. You start to fade.
You know.
You fade.
It happens, I think, in every job, but it's just with cops.
Yeah.
You don't want it to because they're supposed to be out there protecting you. But especially with cops who get paid so little, it's understandable why you fall. Like, let's say you were making $60,000 a year. would you have been, done all that stuff?
I can't answer that question because the cash is in your face, you know? I mean, you know, there's one side is the good guy, the other side is the greedy guy. If it's 51% the other way on that day, you may pop a little something for yourself out of something. But, you know, let me just step back for a second, Joey. Is that okay with you? I want to say this. I didn't start out to do this documentary. They came to me. I want to make that clear. I wanted nothing to do with it. The next thing that happens is the documentary comes out. I get called in. I lose my job. I lose my job because some fucking cop calls up and says, my wife's in danger because Dowd's working there. Okay, fuck you. I end up losing my job. You're the one guy who got his money stolen from him all his fucking life. They gave you a badge. There's 1,000 guys not like him. It's that one prick, right? So I lose my job. I lose my job and I go out and I create a cigar. I could create an idea. I don't even have a fucking cigar. I don't even know where I'm going to get it from. So I know that through this documentary, Diaz and I have had some decent little conversations. We wished each other well. I hope your life is better. My life is coming around. I just lost my job, though. I'm on a lot of shows. Can we promote something? He has a company called La Palma in Dominica. Come up with a cigar based on the movie. I'm out trying to help promote it, and the fucking the New York Post shows up at my house telling me the cops are going to fucking shut you down, you're no good, you're hooked up with a drug dealer. The only guy in the fucking world that'll talk to me right now is guys that did time. I can't get a job. I get a job, they fire me, because some prick, there's 40,000 New York City cops, okay? If 39,000 hated me, I'd be in the dumps. I know. This is two or three pricks that are doing this. They had the fucking post at my house, knocking on my door. The woman that lives there was scared to death, and she's calling me up, sending me messages. And they don't want to hear my side. They don't want to hear that I'm giving speaking engagements in colleges and universities, that I'm involved in, you know, trying to bridge the gap between police and the community right now. That is my main goal. Because of all this shit and the shootings and the black lives and the blue lives and the white lives and the green lives and all lives, I'm trying to bridge the gap to put this whole thing together so people can respect one another for human beings. Not because you got a uniform, not because you're not the right color, you're the wrong color. Listen, I was a cop. I never saw fucking color. I saw crime. Of course, if you were doing crime that I liked, I made some money.
In that whole documentary, I never heard nothing about Spec Gore.
It was never about that. It never was.
Well, I know where you grew up. You grew up around them. There's nothing you could do.
You live with each other. You deal with my best friend. Yes. My first friend in the world was a black guy named Robin. I don't want to say his last name out of anonymity. And my second best friend was a Boricua. Okay? So, fuck me.
No, I know. When you grow up in that area,
it doesn't matter.
You can't be racist.
You can't.
You say the racist thing.
Yeah, you do. You know what? You do.
From time to time,
you giggle. Because it's ignorance.
And in front of them.
It's ignorance.
No, no. There's people who are really stupid.
Right.
And they ask you, why are you hanging out with that fucking Rican for?
Yeah, yeah.
And you sit there and go, are you this fucking dumb? You mingle.
What does it matter?
You live right there.
What does it matter?
They walk in front of you all day. What about when I saw you talking to the girl the other day? Oh, well, she's hot. Well, but what's the difference between she's hot and the fucking guy in the court? Well, he's the spick.
Yeah.
But she's hot.
But she's hot.
He's a spick, but she's fucking hot.
Listen, Chick the Spick was our best in the movie.
Yeah.
That was his nickname.
Chick the Spick.
He didn't give a fuck. He tell you his name was, I didn't, you know, listen, I'm not happy to use those terms because today you get yelled at. But, you know, we called it the Puerto Rican mystery. I said it loud and clear. The guys that are Puerto Rican in the 80s, they knew what it was. Hey. We change. We all grow up. But I was 23, 24 years old. We all grew up together. We lived. Think about it. You get a gun, you get a badge. Do you know that when I turned my gun and my fucking badge in 1988 or 89? I can't remember. A couple of years I got a little lost there, okay? I was doing a little too much. Yeah, yo. Anyway, I turned my shit in, and 2 years later, I told the story once or twice, but I know your audience might appreciate this. I walk into the psychological services. I went to the farm. They call it the farm in the PD. I went to the farm up at Matt and Margaret's, and I came back, and I went three times, okay? I done three times in 9 months because I knew I had a lot of fucking heat around me. I wanted to, you know, I was ducking and weaving, to be honest. Clearly honest. I was ducking and jiving and weaving and skipping. I was just trying to find a way out of the situation I was in. Finally, after 2 years, the shrink, she was 2 foot one. I'm not kidding you. She had like some kind of disease. She was 2'1". I had to help her into the chair, help open the door for her. She couldn't use her hands. She was fucked up. You know, she had some kind of a disease. I don't know what it was. I'm not making fun of her. Anyway, so they tell me, you're getting your guns back. I'm like, you got to be fucking kidding me. I'm under every investigation by every letter in the country, FBI, DEA, CIA, the NYPD. You don't put the letter out there. I go back. I get to this building. Psychological services, there's a fucking folder on the desk. On the desk is a folder, and it's turned around this way, so I can't see it, but it's open. The guy's 90. He's got hair, more hair growing out of his ears than he does on his head. He turns around, he walks to this locker, and as he's walking to the locker, I'm looking at it, it's my folder. I see, clear as day, 15 allegations of corruption. Five in five consecutive weeks selling cocaine from a red Corvette, which, by the way, never fucking happened, but someone was making these allegations. And I think the prick, when I parked in his spot, because remember I told you I wanted to end this fucking deal. I'm done. I just want to be a drug dealer. Fuck it. Because I was just trying to fucking see what would happen. They didn't do nothing. So anyway, so here they take, I'm looking at this thing. I got fucking all these allegations on it. And he comes back and he hands me my fucking gun and badge. Says, go live a life. You can't make, Joey, I'm looking at this. They got 19, 15, 20 separate allegations of fucking corruption, and they handed me my gun and badge back. So I'm just trying to say the truth here, you know? And, you know, I went to ended up in a 9-4 precinct, and then the fateful day comes and the movie goes on. But listen, I respect the police. I wish that I was a retired policeman in Florida getting a fucking pension right now, okay? I fucked up. A lot of us fucked up. 1,000 cops were arrested from 1980-something, 84, 85, to 1997. Charged with narcotics-related charges.
Just in New York? Or police everywhere?
I don't know about the rest of the fucking world. The rest of the world doesn't...
New York
City. The rest of the fucking world doesn't
New York fucking City.
Yeah, so, I mean... So, hey, I take responsibility, the dirtiest, the greatest, the dirtiest, whatever. But, you know, now I'm trying to make a fucking living, Joey. And you got three cops with one cop who got his lunch money stolen is fucking trying to put me out of business with these cigars and the 7-5 cigar program. I didn't want to do this. They fucking made me, they fired me from my job. You know, so now I try to make a living out because the guy happens to be a fucking ex-drug dealer. I'm an ex-drug dealer, too. What am I going to say? I got to be honest. I fucking shook people down and I sold drugs. What do you want me to hang around with? The fucking police department? I love you all, but you won't hang with me. We're done. I love you. Smoke a cigar. Think about it.
Did you sell the drugs? I always, because halfway through the movie, it talked about how you hired that one guy. But how were you at the beginning getting rid of the drugs?
I broke off fucking half ounces or whatever. Eight balls, whatever they wanted.
So
I had three clients, four clients. That's it. Done.
Guys
I could follow them. I knew. Yeah.
Guys that you knew. From
guys
the
I knew, and guys I grew up with, and guys I could watch. If I don't see you for 2 days, I want to know where the fuck you are. Don't call me if I haven't seen you in 2-3 days. I need to see you every fucking day if I can. I want to make sure you didn't get.
You didn't get flipped.
Get a 2 or 3 day fucking stint. And now you're out. You know, working. I wish someone else would have done that.
Yeah, but if you like. Jesus Christ.
Listen, I turned into a fucking perp. That's it. I'm being honest. You know, I was making so much money. You know, I knew the police department hated me. I knew that. They asked me to transfer. They asked me to quit. You know, I had no balls to quit. I just had balls to rot. I don't make money.
Were you actually doing police work during that time or no?
I was the best fucking cop on that beat. And prove I wasn't. They got, they recommend me for promotions and all kinds of shit because I did my job well. If you were in the game, just like in the mob, if you were in the mob and you got whacked, it was part of the fucking game.
Now, let me ask you this. Did you ever take a detective test or anything? You didn't want
There's
to
no
get off
There's no test
the
for detective.
What do they do? I thought you had to get a little
I wish
like
I was a detective. If I was a detective, I would be a billionaire. Not a,
how do you
not
become
a billionaire, not a millionaire.
How do you become a detective in NYPD?
Well... In all fairness, you know, besides having a hook, you know, you need to be an active, aggressive cop and make good collars and show the aptitude to progress your way up and to be a good investigator. there's no mistake when you're a detective normally. Normally, if you're a detective in NYPD, you're very well respected and you are pretty, you're seasoned. Look, a 2-year veteran of a New York City Police Department cop is seasoned like a 15-year veteran in most police departments in the world. That's a fact. So that's how much experience you have and knowledge and wisdom.
After 2 or 3 years.
After 2 years.
Is that good?
2 years. You see things people never could see in their life. It's all about their hands and watching people and watching their hands, watching their body, watching the way they tip, watching the way their coat hangs. I could pick guns out like in my sleep. It's ridiculous. I mean, Kenny got them all. He gave them to him. And he gave them back and they put them on my fucking sentencing memorandum. Did I tell you the guy Diaz? What's his name? Diaz. From the Fat Boys, the Diaz kid from the Fat Boys. I took a 32 from him out of his fucking little man purse. This is a long story. I don't want to get into it here because we want to watch a movie. But the Diaz, the Fat Boy from Diaz. What the fuck's his name? You guys don't know? You know music? The Fat Boys?
No, I was gone by then. I was into other things.
The Fat Boys, the first rap group.
I know. I just don't remember the fucking names now. You know,
the Fat Boy Diaz. Looks like you. A name like you. He's like your cousin. He's not your cousin.
I didn't give a fuck at all. Yeah, I know you didn't. Fat Boys.
Anyway, I took a 32 fucking two shot. 32 two shot Derringer. Out of that little girl bag, that, you know, the fanny pack and shit. There was a stack of hundreds in there. So I take the gun. I'm with some kid who wants the collar. Kid goes, I can't take the collar. I said, you told me you wanted a gun collar. He goes, I know his brother. His brother's a cop in the 9-0. So this fucking rookie's telling me, I'm the jam up guy. I'm trying to do everything by the book. You want a gun collar? I got you one. Here's the gun. Oh my God. He goes, I know this guy. His brother's a cop in the 9-0. I said, he's a fucking rap guy from the neighborhood. I used to take their singles out. They had bags, pillowcases filled with singles in their fucking house. They have block parties in their house. You know, they put the speakers on, bang, 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 bang. They go all night long. And I guess the people would stuff their money, their bags with singles. And she used to take the singles. It was too much fucking work taking those singles. That was crazy. But this guy here, he had a 32 two-shot Derringer in the bag. And so I take the gun. The kid says, I can't lock him up. But he knows my brother. This fucking Boricua, his first week on the job, he's telling me I can't lock the guy up. He knows my brother. I go, okay. Now what the fuck? I got a rookie here. He says he can't make the collar. I don't make collars, right? And the guy's got a fat knot in his fucking little fanny pouch. So he goes to me, officer, take what you want. So I look at him. It's the wrong fucking time. I got a rookie next to me here. Who won't take the gun, but I'm scared if I take the little cash.
He'll tell him.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know this guy. I don't just do. You know, I got to think this thing out. So I go, all right, listen, dude, I take a walk. He goes, can I have my gun back? I said, you got to be fucking kidding me. Get the fuck out of here. So I take the 232 two-shot Derringer. I give it to Baron Perez, the guy in the Auto Sound City, right? And he ends up shooting, I don't know, whatever. He didn't shoot anybody with it, but it went off by accident. He's fucking building. Someone shot themselves in the leg, I heard. I don't even know. By accident, like, because it's a two-shot Derringer. You pull the hammer back, and boom. It was crazy. Anyway, so this is life in the fucking ghetto. What do you know?
You know, it's crazy. I wanted to get back to that line that you said, because when I watched it for the first time, I wasn't as much as shocked as Lee was. Lee is a young man. He believes, you know, like many other young men.
Hey, listen, most cops are good people.
They believe, and
I was good people too, Joey.
I saw behind the curtain as a young man. You know, in different aspects.
You saw it. You worked.
I don't know why and how. I can't describe what I saw. But one day, I knew the war on drugs was bullshit. Work in the 70s was real police work, when cops would pull up and go, what happened here?
Right.
And, you know.
Decision making
right, and right. Quick stuff. Listen, we got other calls to make.
Right, listen.
Next time I see you on this fucking block, I'm knocking you out.
Right, right.
You fucko.
You're going to the hospital if I see you again. You
know, and everybody knew Mike Dowd.
They knew street justice.
They knew the cops on detail. Right. There was a relationship.
Right.
You know, I once saw something on television that I don't see anymore. I don't see, only if there's a terrorist threat do you see people in uniform. When I was a kid, there was always a cop on a beat.
Right.
Okay? Oh, and they deter more crime. That dude in the neighborhood,
just
you know him. You knowing that guy walking around will stop you from doing 1,000 fucking things. Especially because they left him in these neighborhoods. So he got to grow up with the
right.
kids.
Right.
And he became something for the kids right. and he saw the and he right. would catch them before they went down. I'm telling you.
Early.
This was
early.
A different right. fucking America right. that we have forgotten
right.
here.
Yeah,
but
right.
but for me, you know, when I was a kid, I got in there was a fight one day, I got involved. The cop took me to his house. Italians, four boys. I never left after that. I went back to my house. I would go over there. One day I went to go over there, and they had the house surrounded. He had Patty Hearst machine gun.
Jesus.
Then another time, some dude on my block and Anthony got into a beef. He went over there, handcuffed the dude, beat the fuck out of him, took the handcuffs off him. The guy dropped. The whole neighborhood went inside their house. The guy on the floor started yelling police brutality. Nobody did nothing. You know, he run amok for years. You know, one time a teacher hit his son and me. He came in and fucked this teacher up at the school.
He you loved know, this guy.
I loved him with all my heart. I still talk to
guy.
Him.
Yeah.
I put him in my
God
documentary and everything.
God bless him.
I love him with all my heart. You know, one day, I remember he used to always tell me, Coccarini, if you ever want to shoot somebody, invite him over for dinner. He used to tell me that shit for years.
I had advice that you didn't ask for.
I had two guys on the block that told me something, and you could have been these two guys. The cop used to always tell me, Coccarini, if you want to kill somebody, invite them over for dinner. And the other guy used to tell me, Cox, I'll do anything for you. Tell me the truth,
yeah,
and I'll do anything for you. If you lie to me,
yeah, don't embarrass
then we're going to have a fucking problem. But if you tell me the truth all the way to the end,
we'll work it out.
I'll fucking take the guns with you.
That's
and that
right.
made my dick hard. He was my friend's dad, and he's the one I lived with when my mom died.
Right.
Carmine ended up shooting somebody in the back three times in self-defense, lost his police job, but kept his pension because he had a relationship with the New York Times, and he just kept writing letters to the New York Times. Today, Carmine, which Lee met him. We went to his house and taped him. Today, Carmine is still a security guard, probably making $100,000. He's the highest paid security guard in the state of New Jersey because he writes letters. He's a letter writer. Yeah, he's one of
he
those letter writers.
The pen was more powerful. The pen is more powerful than the sword, baby.
You know, and he had a guy at the paper all those years.
Look what they fucking did to me, the paper today. They run a fucking article on me.
Whenever allegations came up against him, he had a guy at the paper that printed his shit. His side.
I need a guy on that side.
Oh, please.
Joey, come on. Why didn't I should have Carmine working for my agency.
Please, but it's
I would love to see those editorials. That's crazy. Like, to have somebody be able, like, that's Twitter before Twitter was around. That's insane.
Right. Yeah, that is
he
Twitter.
He was a letter writer, and he tormented letters.
Yeah, because every letter's got to be answered in red.
Fucking crazy. Crazy. And people always said that about him. Carmine was a fucking letter writer. You know, which I don't know what that means. I don't know who he writes letters to. You know, but it's... But the topic I really wanted to get behind. Again, for somebody like Lee. You're laying in bed one night. Do you just think that this is fucking bullshit? This is bullshit. Every time I shoot a kid or I arrest a motherfucker...
I've never fucking fired my gun.
Anyway, okay. I'm just saying. Anytime I arrest a kid, another one comes out of the woodwork. I worked 20 hours with Chicky to clean up that block by the ladies'
Chicky,
house.
Chicky, God bless Chicky.
And next thing you know, there's six new Puerto Ricans out there selling crack.
Yeah, well,
and
yeah.
At what point do you go, fuck it, we can't beat them.
Well,
we might as well join them.
The point comes when your fucking bosses start breaking your balls for making arrests. You're like, now you're the problem. It's not the fucking, the dealing that's the problem, it's you. You want out of problem because you're costing the city thousands and thousands of dollars in incarceration fees, lawyers' fees, overtime, food, you know, transportation. You know, there's 120, 150,000 arrests a year in Brooklyn, you know, all for the same shit. Crack, marijuana, you know, the fucking drug war is a complete disaster. Complete. Let people fuck themselves. You know, you can shove a pipe up your ass, but you can't fucking smoke a joint or do a fucking blast.
Even the reef, I don't mind you. I don't.
Listen, I'm not pro.
Give this
drugs.
Guy a ticket.
I'm not pro drugs.
I give this guy a
but
ticket.
But do what the fuck you want. It's your body.
Give it to, you know, for the way this guy acted the other night with the thing the other day.
But they went after him, like they were going to put him in prison?
Hilarious. Those are the guys that, and that's how you were. The first of 4 weeks on the job. That was him. What'd you just pass to him?
Yeah.
What'd you just pass
to him? If I saw a bag or something, you know, I'd be like, oh, I got to do this. I got to do something about this.
And then
but I was 21 years old.
And then one day, you see that kid that you arrested on your second day, and now he's the bank president, and you're like, you weren't that much of a bad kid for smoking pot.
Yeah, really.
Jesus, what was I thinking? Yeah. It's these motherfuckers at the crack. You start laying, you know, you start making your own judgments of who.
Right. Marijuana was not pursued at that point.
No.
Once the crack hit, no one even heard of marijuana.
And what happens on the other side of it where, like, let's say you arrested this guy 10 times and he keeps getting out. He keeps getting out on technicalities.
That Chris Moore. He's the fucking most famous motherfucker for that. He'd be out before you got back to the precinct with him. His lawyer would be in the station house waiting for you.
What was his occupation?
I tried to shake him down.
He was a drug dealer?
He was a professional drug dealer.
Okay, I didn't know him.
He was very good at it.
What was his name? Chris Moore?
Chris Moore.
White kid?
No, black guy. From Barbados.
Barbados.
Loved him. But he was a loud bitch. He would complain a lot, and he would get away with it. He had the biggest arrest record in the precinct that did zero time. He was famous. He was famous. The kid was famous.
Did he have, like, a millionaire lawyer or something?
His lawyer beat you to the station house. His lawyer just sat around waiting for him to get arrested, I guess. I don't know. And the funny thing was, he's the only guy I saw in federal prison. And he was four-pointed in his cell. And he says to me, Mike... Because everybody knows who I am. It's a little... I passed a few steps with him. Mike, can you call my girlfriend for me? Because they have the phone on wheels. They wheel the phone from one... You know, I was in the hole. So they wheel the hole from one... The phone from one hole, the cell, to the next. And it was my turn on the tier, and Chris Moore was four-pointed. He couldn't move. He couldn't do anything. And so I made the call for him, and I had to hold the phone to his fucking ear for him. Here's a guy. He wouldn't pay me. I gave him a summons. He's like the only summons I ever wrote because he started yelling at me in front of everybody. He's trying to take my money. He's trying to take $200 and let him go. He's trying to take my money. So for fuck that, I took him to the precinct. I gave him a summons. Probably cost him $200-$300. I don't know what it cost him. So he's the only guy I ran into in prison, and I ended up having to do him a favor. And of course, I did him a favor. We're all in the same joint now. You know, I was at MCC New York on the 9 South, okay? If you're out there, 9 South, Chris and Desmond, you were the fucking CO, and you know who you are.
9 South.
Yeah, that's the
at
hole.
The man,
that's
MCC.
The hole. That's the hole, baby. Fucking Jesus. Mice in your fucking cell. The roaches were so thick you'd put earplugs in and you'd try to keep the roaches out of your ears while you were sleeping. The mice were in your fucking locker eating your soups and your cookies and shit. We used to go fishing for mice. We put the box on the floor. It's a big soup box, and we put make a string from the sheets, and you put a cookie in the bottom of the box, and you hear the mouse in there because it's stuck. He's trying to get the fucking thing out. Bingo! You stand your fish, and then the mouse couldn't jump high enough to get out of the box. You put him in the toilet. The other night, you got 4 or 5 mice in the toilet, fucking looking at you. Can we get out, please? Goodbye.
Disgusting.
Yeah, that was it. And then the roaches, you got to keep them off your bed. Keep them out of your ears.
Can you imagine that way?
Two years. Remember water bugs? They were fucking real roaches. They were,
they were
fucking ghetto roaches.
How going big? From a condo?
No, they weren't the big ones. They were the little ones because you couldn't see. You know, they were all over. You turn the light out, they come out in the night, and then you turn the light on, they run.
Oh, Jesus Christ. And they're all over you.
Yeah, they're all over. I probably ate about 100 pounds of roach. I see a roach right here. What? That's different, though.
That's a different roach.
What is it like going from condos in Myrtle Beach? What was it? Corvette or Ferrari? I forget.
It's a Corvette.
A Corvette. To fucking catching mice and keeping the roaches out of your ears.
That's quite the fall.
It puts life into perspective.
Yeah. Well, you know, you change forever. You forever change. Okay. I'm a humorous guy. I laugh at life's foils, but it's very serious. This is a whole serious topic. I'm serious, but I try to put a light of humor into life because you might as well be fucking dead. If you can't fucking laugh, you might as well be dead.
Put a segment on, Lee.
Okay.
Let's put a segment on of one of Uncle Mike's. Not this shit. The fucking movie.
I know. Oh. Yeah, it's my notes. Well, yeah, I mean, we could play the what we just talked about, the not stemming the flow of crime. How about we do... Okay, let's do this.
Golly, don't make me strangle you, will you?
Chicky's my boy. Here he is. I love Chicky.
And I'm a cop.
Things began to change when I started to find money and drugs at different locations. I was in control now. At that gave me the real feeling of being in control. I've been throwing this shit out for years. Now all of a sudden, it's a moneymaker. I'm like, okay. A kid had done a stick up on Fulton. He ran home, hid in his house. We knocked the door down, went inside. I knew we were in a coke house. There's triple beam scales everywhere. So I hacksawed this briefcase open. I stuck my hand and I ripped out this bag. A plume of fucking white powder goes flying. I said, pay dirt. Bags. I'm putting bags in my coke. At the time, it was $30,000 a kilo for coke. So we know if we had a half or a one, we're getting $20,000 at least. And I took the money and bought a condo in Myrtle Beach. I love to golf, and I know Myrtle Beach was a golfer's haven, and it's on a beach.
Pretty simple.
So Joey's told stories about, like, finding, like, a Chinese restaurant, or just finding drugs, finding all this stuff, and you're finding, like, how does it just find you? How do you find, I've never once stumbled across all this coke. That's crazy.
Well, it wasn't out in front of the guy's doorbell. It was in his fucking basement, and it was actually behind the curtain. You know, sometimes, don't take this to me, in a Spanish house, they'll hang beads, or they'll put a curtain up, because that's now a new room, right? So behind the curtain was a fucking another room, and that room was the cocaine room. And there was amazing amounts of, I couldn't get it all. I was fucking, there was police everywhere. I couldn't get the coke out. It was ridiculous. There was so much coke in the house. But I did what I could. You know, I stuffed my pockets. My partner stuffed his pockets, and we took off.
You know, I look at you, and I feel you, because I just didn't have a uniform on.
Yeah, no, I just was there.
Comedy Central tonight premieres This Is Not Happening with Ari. And I tell a story about this guy's house that I went to. I knew he sold coke for years. When I was a kid, I knew he sold coke. He was gay. Martin and Maricón. No big deal. I go to his house one day. I'm looking at my Santeria stuff. And for some reason, something just catches my eye. It's a baggie. But I didn't know what a baggie looks like. I know what a baggie looks like. I look over and there's maybe 3/4 of an ounce. Maybe, you know, 20 grams, 2 grams of powder.
You're weighing the fucking thing with your eyes?
I could just tell by eyes. That's how good I was. That's how good I was.
I can tell too.
I break it up a little bit. I take 3 grams, whatever.
Did you check and make sure the sun doesn't dissolve nice in your fingers?
This is 19.
It was fucking bazooka. It was bazooka.
This is beautiful.
Oh, my God.
I could leave after a week. I go back and I rob him. And this started something that... You know, it's like I tell Lee, I never met a heroin dealer in Hollywood the whole 18 years. You know how many coke dealers I met? When I was doing coke, you meet coke dealers.
Absolutely.
You attract people. Right. So Mike's going to people's houses for something completely from fucking weird. He gets there and Lee's got a bindle on the table with a triple beam scale.
I see. I know.
He looks. He goes here. He goes there. Calls the ambulance.
I'm going to tell you exactly what happened. I go in a house and I look at the fucking condition inside the house.
This is it. Yeah.
This house is too nice for this neighborhood. There's fucking racks of shoes, boxes of shoes. Shoes are expensive. Women love shoes. There's got to be money in this fucking house. There's a reason that here in the ghetto, where you're supposed to be broke, that Chicky says the richest fucking place in the world. Racks of shoes. You got to start looking for what you want. I don't want the high heel pumps, okay? I'll tell you right now, but there's got to be something in there for me, and I find it. But not always. And if you didn't find it, many times you just missed it, which has pissed you off.
You know what? If I think back without lying to you guys.
Don't lie.
I was 8 for 10. If I thought there was 10 spots that had coke and cash in them, eight out of 10. Yeah. Had something or both.
Right. Oh, yeah.
Something or both, well, Lisa.
You knew the street. You knew it.
You know what's going on in there.
You know.
And I'm not leaving until I find something.
Right.
Whether it takes 3 minutes or 8 minutes, right. I know there's something in there. You know how many times I left, walked around the neighborhood, and went back into a place because I thought about something.
Right, yeah, you missed a spot.
Finally, maybe my mind picked up
in the fucking ceiling.
I'm telling you, Lisa.
It's in the floorboards. I wouldn't lift the rug.
I know when there's something in your fucking house.
Yeah. You can
I know. You can know.
Tell.
You can tell.
Yeah. When you're in the business, you know.
I'm not leaving until I get something in this fucking house.
Yeah. It's just the way it was. I'm going to tell you a story, all right? This is how it was, and this is one of the guys is still around today on the job. Good guy. These are stories that don't make the fucking cut. I'm at the precinct 9-4. I got a half a kilo.
Where's the 9-4?
It's in Greenpoint.
Okay.
It's still regentrified over there. It's fucking fabulous. I got a fucking half a kilo in a bag. I got to bring it home and do my distributions and whatnot. Anyway, so. The sergeant, I hook the sergeant up with my boy who does breaks for the cops, whatever, and I give him a nice spot, and I take him to a place. I save him $150 on a brake job. Back then, it was like $300-something for a Toyota Celica brake job. I got him for like $150. I hooked the guy up. I got him the job. So at the end of the shift, we're all waiting around, and he goes, Mike, can you, sergeant's shift ends 20 minutes later than the cops. So I said, I'll wait 20 minutes for you. He signs out. I'm standing around bullshitting. I put my bag down. You know, most cops carry a duffel bag to work with them. I had, you know, my shit in the bag, and I had half a kilo in there. So I left the bag in front of the, and the cops will know what I'm talking about, and civilians may as well. They call it the 124 room, where they do all the reports. You walk in off the street, you say that my house was burglarized, my car's missing, my daddy's, you know, beating me up. They do all the typing, all the civilians do the typing. I put this little bag in front of, like, the girl sitting over there and on a desk right here in front of us, so about 2 feet away from her. I go home for a three-day weekend. I'm looking for my fucking bag. I can't find it. I'm starting to sweat. Remember how Lee was sweating before? I'm sweating. I'm losing my mind. Where's this bag? I check my car underneath, over the top, trunk. I never put anything in the trunk. Can't find it. I call the precinct. I tell this young cop, I said, do me a favor. He goes, what, Mike? I go, my locker is here. This is my combination. Open my locker and do not look in that bag. You hear me? If there's a black bag with orange stripes on it, do not look in that bag. The guy knows who I'm talking about when I'm down there right now. He goes, I got you, Mike. I said, do not look. Okay. 5 minutes later, he comes back on the phone. The bag's not there. I said, okay, great. I'm shitting my pants off. I don't know where the fuck this bag is. Someone broke in my car and stole it, I'm saying. All right. I go to work 2 days later. There's the bag. The bag is at the fucking desk in front of the girls typing the fucking report. It's still there. There's a half a kilo in there. In there's my PBA fucking, the letter they send home to you once a month for like some like report, whatever it is, right? It's got my name, my address, everything stamped on it. I'm fucked. I'm going to jail today. I'm getting ready. I'm going to jail. I'm circling the fucking thing like a shark circles somebody before he takes him down. I'm looking. I got to figure out if I'm in trouble right now. I'm looking for strange cars. I don't know what to do. So I go over to the desk officer. Hey, Lou, how you doing? Oh, good, Dad. What's up? He looked at me a little strange, but not too strange. So I go, I need a report from back there. Is that all right? He goes, yeah, come on up. So he invites me behind the desk. I'm not in uniform yet. I'm just coming in for the 4-12 shift. He invites me behind the desk. And I'm looking around behind the desk. Is there fucking monsters coming out? It's nothing. So rather than go into the 124 room from the front way, I went from the lieutenant's desk the back way right into the 124 room, picked up the bag, and walked straight out the fucking precinct door. I get outside, I run down the street, jump in my car, and drive over to fucking McCarran Park or someplace in Greenpoint there. I'm sweating. I'm looking around. No one followed me. I'm not under arrest. This is unbelievable. I got a half a kilo in the fucking bag in the station house.
Over the weekend, it sat there
for 3 days.
Three fucking days with a room full of cops. You got to wonder, who's doing police work here?
Oh, my God. Well, I mean, I'm so happy they weren't.
And Greenpoint now, they have a fucking studio.
Oh, there's lots of studios.
A movie studio now, a film TV studio. They shoot Blue Bloods and God knows how many fucking things up there.
What's her name? Gloria? Not Gloria. What's the... The one on American Idol, I can't remember her name.
Jennifer Lopez.
No, the Spanish one. Not the first one.
Oh, Paula Abdul?
Paula Abdul. She's not Spanish, right? Anyway, Paula Abdul did her video where she puts her head in a bucket of water and the water flies up. 1991, she did her video in Greenpoint at some wise guy's. They had the studio down there, and she gives my partner Tom, I won't say his last name, her phone number and still call her. I said about 3 days later, she ever call this girl? You know, at that she wasn't too. You know, she was a fucking. You know, she was a star, but not the star she eventually became. He goes, no, I didn't. I says, you got to be fucking kidding me. He says, Mike, I got 35 numbers. What am I going to do? Put her on the list? I said, she's a fucking singer. For Christ's sakes, you could have changed the world, dude. You could leave. Batman and Robin, oh, for God's sakes, whatever.
You had a crazy fucking life, Mike. You're a lucky man. And you'll live to be 90.
Oh, I don't know.
You're one of those guys that'll live to be 90. What's the second scene you like, Lee?
Well, there's this one. Let's see here.
Oh, we already did this last night.
No.
There's a whole bunch of them.
We didn't watch 7 minutes last night.
All right, go ahead.
Well, I saw that last night. Academy.
Yeah.
Did we?
The Academy. Okay. Well, you were fucking shocked.
So yeah. So what the line was then was, if you want to be a successful cop, don't listen to internal affairs.
Right.
So that's crazy. In basic, when you're basic training, they come in. And they just say, if you want to be a... So what did they mean successful?
Well, you want to have a career as a police officer where you're engaged in the police world. You know, you don't want to be working with internal affairs. They end up by themselves, usually. The culture is to be involved with the community of the police. And, you know, the internal affairs don't get invited to too many parties. That's the truth. You know, I think the internal affairs, their wives don't like them. It's true. I'm kidding. When their husbands work for internal affairs, they don't want to talk to them. It's the truth, I swear to God.
What a tough fucking job being a cop.
Cop for the cops.
No. Just what happens to you when you become a cop, Lee. Never mind becoming a cop for the fucking cops. They got cops for the cops and cops for the cops and more cops. They got everything. Task force for fucking cops and six cops that would never even follow fucking somebody. It's what an interesting journey.
Let me tell you something and make this. It's the best fucking job in the world. The pay sucks. But it's so fucking cool to be a cop.
Right.
And if you're a real person, though, you can't be a scumbag. You have to be a real person.
No, that's what I'm saying. You grew up with real fucking people. Yeah, I grew up with cops.
And I'm not saying they're not. Listen, Joe, let's keep it real. Most of them are pretty good guys. You know, sometimes they overreact. Everybody does. Did you ever overreact in your life?
Every fucking day of my life.
Me too. There's that prick, Joe Tremboli.
Yeah, I'm trying to find it. It's when they were talking about how he, Joe Tremboli, got tipped off that about the 7-7.
13 New York City police officers have been suspended. Police are accused of accepting money from drug pushers and committing burglaries.
It's the worst police scandal in this city in years.
Little crew of cops were raiding homes and raiding drug locations.
No, same thing. Fireman in the 7-7 precinct. And he calls me up and he says, what's going on in the 7-7? Cops are coming into the firehouse and they're borrowing ladders and hatchets. The cops were using the ladders to go to these locations where they knew the drugs were, and they were using the axes to break down the doors. These guys had no finesse whatsoever. These guys were absolutely berserk.
12 officers had been...
So, like, what are you thinking? You see this... And they didn't get caught because the police caught them. They didn't get caught for making any. The mistake they made was that they were doing it at where the brother of the whatever it's called, internal affairs, was a firefighter. Right. It's just crazy how, like you said, like how you can have all these people doing all these things, but it's your brother. It's luck. It's not police work. It's not. I mean, it's crazy. The biggest police scandal in New York was they were being stupid and just going and asking for ladders and hatches.
It was wide open out there. This is nothing fucking new. It was wide open. These guys weren't using ingenuity. I mean, for Christ's sakes, I'm surprised they were. I mean, that's almost foolish that they did it, because the fact is, it was. What'd you need a ladder for? I mean, was it that? Was that one building? It was everywhere. I mean, God forbid. You know, then one guy ends up fucking killing himself in a hotel room with the asshole McAleary sitting right next to his side, right in the fucking, you know, this was everywhere. I mean.
Okay, so it's in the 7-7.
Right.
You're watching this go down.
Oh, yeah.
You're sitting there in the 7-5 going, you know what?
We're next.
This ain't going to happen.
We're next.
Or, we're next. I'm just going to get ready. I'm just going to steal with two hands.
Yeah, see,
until they come knocking on the fucking door. You know what I'm saying?
Right. Well, what happened was, at that point, everybody got their ass tightened up, okay? We all fucking stopped. And then they sent us to Coney Island. But the fact was, the word was out that we were robbing people. And when I say we, I don't know how many. If I say 10 or 50, I don't know the difference. But there was at least 10, I told you.
Now, you're in a crew of three cops.
Well, a crew of about 12 cops.
Cops, and 3 times 4 of you guys are hitting different drug dealers.
Absolutely.
Are you all 12? Are you sharing the vig?
No, 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 no.
You know what they're doing.
You
know what Lee's doing.
Right, right, right. It's you and your partner. You're taking home whatever you want. That we had a number like 200 a day was our number. We'd like to get
200 cash
each. Right. So me and my partner.
That's like nothing. That's nothing. That's the first time.
Well, but listen, we were new. We were young. We were doing this. Just let's get 200. Well, cause we can get a score for $15,000. That's different. A score is different than a payday. Like. You're in the corner. You're giving. We're getting 200 from you. You're the mark today, because there's going to be 400 different guys we can pass. But we got to do a job, so we can't roll everybody. So the one guy we're rolling, we're getting 200 for each of us. Whether it's this guy had only 200 and that guy had that was four, we're good. So $200 number was the day. So at the end of the week, you put $1,000 in your pocket, no matter what. That was the goal. So you weren't killing people. You were letting them make a living, and you were making a little extra. And you didn't have to lock them up anymore and get fucking in trouble from the police department.
And who the fuck are you kidding? Listen, you come to me. You come. You kick in this door right now with a warrant.
Right.
And me and Lee got 4 ounces of blow here.
Mm-hmm.
And you come in here right now and go, hey, man, turn around, blah, 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 blah. This is what we're doing. We're taking the powder, but we're leaving the cash. I think this really might cause a heart attack, the cigar. I think this might get us in trouble for sure and shit.
What do you mean? Oh, with the office.
With the office, so be careful with that thing.
Oh, we're going to put it out?
Yeah.
I will. Why don't you fucking trouble. Say something? You got all this smoke floating around here.
We come in here, we open up the door.
Oh, okay. What just telling you?
And throw that joint out tomorrow. Tell this fucking guy to not to leave joints out of here and shit.
Okay.
Why don't you tell me something before like I lit this fucking beautiful, you know, 75 cigar I just lit. Look great.
So,
it's delicious.
I'm going to smoke
it's a
cigar
delicious,
with you, too. I'm smoking with you later. I'm going to get some cocktails or something. It's really weird that, yeah, there's 4 setsies, and you're out there, and whatever. And listen, somebody comes in here right now and says, I'm taking the coke. You guys could keep the cash. This never happened. I would never hold a grudge against you. You just saved me 10 fucking years.
Yeah, you know, absolutely.
Everything I fucking own. Right. Take the 4. As a matter of fact, come back tomorrow. I'm going to give you 2 more.
So that's what happened.
You understand me, Lee?
So that's what happened.
On my perspective.
Well,
I know what's crack-a-lackin'. I know that this motherfucker can take
saved
my
your
cash.
Life. He just saved your
and
life.
And my coke. Yeah. And take me in. And tomorrow morning when my wife goes to pay for her fucking
you
latte,
love this guy.
When
you
my
love
wife
that
goes
cop.
To get her latte. There's no money
there's no
in
latte.
There. There's no latte. The cops already seized your
it's
bank
over.
Account. It's over.
Right.
And there's no paper.
You love
got,
that
you
cop.
Have no fucking idea.
You have. You
so
love
when
that
this guy
cop.
Comes in here once a week and he goes, Joey, how you doing?
Right.
You know what, Lee? Bust him out 500.
Yeah. Take. Make sure he's happy.
What's he want? 2? Yeah. Give him 5.
Right.
Give him 5. Watch this. Watch this.
I wish I had Joey on my
watch
fucking
watch this
beat.
Motherfucker.
I wish you were on my
no, because
I would have been good. I don't need 10 guys.
For
I
that
need fun, one
no,
two.
I need 3 guys. That's it.
That's it.
Because for 500, I'll get you dancing.
I'm living.
Dancing. Dog, who else is selling coke on this corner? Oh, 10 guys. And they're all paying me $200. Well, tomorrow we're going to all shake them down and you're going to give them the shit back. You're
and
a hero.
Get yours.
I mean, oh my God. Oh my fucking God.
Oh, we did this too.
Oh my God. You have no idea the scams that are out there with some cops.
Oh, yeah.
You just take my coke and leave it at that and leave my cash.
Right.
Come by every week.
Yeah.
So, but like, what happens if they start abusing it though? Like, they find it and then they're there every day.
Well,
like
you can't be abusive,
you
otherwise it's not going to work.
Because then
it's not going to work.
That's why you got to mark, you got to milk them.
Right.
What do I always say?
Right.
Why run down there and fuck one of them and we can walk down there and fuck them all?
Right.
Okay? Yeah. So you're going to milk them slowly like
a
credit card.
Right.
I don't
it's
mind.
The truth. It's
this
the
is
truth.
It. Now, guess what else? For the 5, guess what else is going to happen? He's going to come in here one day because fucking Mike Dowd's a genius. He's a street genius. He's going to come in here one day and do what he's done in that documentary. What? He's going to come in one day and go, how you guys doing? You got to lower the music.
Yeah.
And all of a sudden, you're going to flush the blow. We're going to walk to the corner. There's going to be DEA, helicopters, dog, and there's nothing here.
Right.
Guess what you're going to do tomorrow morning?
When you see me.
You're going to call him and say, take your dick out. I'm going to suck every sperm. I'm not even gay. I'm going to suck your dick because, again, you saved me 30 years.
Years, right.
Years.
Did you see Diaz in the fucking
movies? And
what does he want?
Half a million. It saved half a million.
And what does he want? He wants 500 a week, really? Yeah. But then there's people who are stupid.
Yeah.
Why am I giving him 500 a week?
Mm-hmm.
You stupid, miserable motherfucker. You're eating with your kids every night. You're getting your dick sucked.
And you're running the scam.
You're getting your tickets taken care of. Because any ticket I get, Mike, come here. What's this fucking guy?
I had a wise guy complaining to me.
Have no fucking idea, Lee, what these guys do.
I had to take care of this guy.
You have no idea as a guy.
These are $2,500 tickets. These are $2,500 tickets I had to take care of.
What'd he do? You know what I'm
LD6s.
Saying?
They were called LD6s.
When I was in Boulder, I became friends with a dude, and he caught on to me with the credit cards. This is after they were looking for me. And he told me, because they're watching at the mall, don't go to that mall. Go to the one in Westminster or whatever, in Longmont. And he goes, and if you go, he said, get me one of those speakers. And guess what? I got him a speaker. And next time I saw him was maybe 2 months later. I had left and came back, and I bumped into him.
And you still had something for you? Did you still have it?
I had the speaker in my girlfriend's car at the time. And when I saw him, I just put the speaker on the street. And I go, that might be yours. And I got in my car and left and came back an hour later, and the speaker was gone.
There you go.
Was he a dirty cop? I don't fucking know. He took care of me. But like I said, there's logic. And there's people who's going to listen to this podcast, and they're not going to agree with what we're talking about here. Because they don't understand. It's not their world.
Right. Well, here's the thing, though. So you guys grew up where this is normal. I didn't.
Normal.
I grew up where the only cop interaction I had was Officer Rocky, a bigger middle-aged guy who was our DARE officer.
Right.
I didn't have any experience with them at all. So to me, I'm scared. Like, my first reaction is scared. Even, well, like, I'm getting better at it, but I used to freak out, like, when they were driving behind me on the street, even if I did nothing wrong.
Well, why would you even be scared? I mean, your first reaction is, if you knew Rocky, the big the DARE cop, you should have, like, had an affinity for police. So that would be the reason you would know Mr. Rocky.
Well, he was really nice, but when they're behind you and they're going to pull you over, that's when you get scared.
This is my wallet.
Right.
This is my wallet.
Okay.
This is my wallet. Hey, your fat's big. Fuck you, motherfucker. Hey, papa, whatever. Lee, get out of the car. Give that guy $300. He's going to give you an 8-ball. You get back in the car. We hit the corner. We make a right at the stop sign. I stop at the stop sign like a gentleman. I look both ways. I make the right.
Like a gentleman.
Boom. Right there, cop pulls me over. It's Mike Dodd. Pulls me over. He knows I just copped over there.
I know where you are.
Mike Dodd takes a look at me. I'm not high. My eyeballs are clean. I got no tattoos. I got a marriage ring. He knows the deal. This guy's not dealing. This guy came from Jersey with the Jewish kid. He came to cop.
Right.
What do I got now? I open up my thing like this, and you know, license and registration. So when I get my license, I give him this fucking stupid PBA card. And I give him the fucking PBA card. He takes it, looks at this PBA card, family member.
Right.
Oh yeah, we don't fuck around here. And right away, he knows who's this. My stepdad. He on the job, what the fuck you doing up here?
Right.
You know what? What's your stepdad's number? Would you want me to call him right now at 3 in the morning and tell him you're on 148th and B Avenue?
Yeah, what are you doing?
Not really, would you? Okay. Listen to what you're going to do. Well, how much cash is that sticking out of your fucking wallet? I don't give a fuck. Right there with 300. All right, drop it in the fucking door. Like, empty your wallet.
Just drop it.
You know, and I don't give a fuck because he just saved me. Oh, my God, my license,
5 years, maybe.
6 years getting towed. You have no fucking idea.
5 years of fucking trouble.
And what?
Bus rides you would have to...
Am I going to fuck kids in the ass? Am I going to go watch porno? No. I'm going to go get some fucking chick, put a coke rock in a pussy, and eat a pussy. He sees it for what it is.
Right.
What I told you.
Right.
The ability to read people.
People.
You said after 2 years on the beat in New York, you learn more.
Right.
You know? Look at it from a cop's perspective. Every time they talk to somebody, nobody ever did anything.
Right.
I went to prison.
Right.
You're surrounded with 400 people who never did nothing.
Right. Nothing wrong.
Nobody never did nothing.
You were the only one, right?
Yeah. I'm like, Jesus Christ.
The only fucking one who did it.
It's like Las Vegas. Nobody loses. Yeah. You ever come
I always
home?
Said I'm here for a reason.
You ever,
right?
You ever have people Las Vegas? What'd you do? I won 800.
I had a good time.
I won 800. Nobody ever says I lost 2,000.
I had a good time.
I got fucked in the ass. I got herpes now. I ate some hookah. Oh, I'm foaming from the mouth.
Oh,
you know, nobody says that.
No one says that, huh? Yeah. I tell you.
I mean, why would they? I mean, it's crazy to for 2 years out and beyond. And I said it last night, but to be on the beat, I'm surprised they didn't put you in a desk job. And I also wondered that if you weren't really like, and I guess you weren't to being a cop. But if I was going to be a cop, I would go and find a desk job to go out to where you're doing 100 calls a day.
Fuck that. There's
why
no
would
money.
You become a
There's
fucking
no money
cop
on the desk.
Not even that.
I don't like the action. The action.
I became a cop to help a woman give birth during a fire. I became a cop to shoot an assailant who's fucking raping a girl in an alleyway.
Right.
I became a cop to fucking
save the world.
To save the fucking world from itself.
Right.
Okay, that's the beginning. I can see that, man. Right. Listen, though, when I came from Cuba,
you're
I bought
this. You're not gonna sit behind a desk and answer a fucking phone.
Fuck no. Fuck no. I want to fucking pick up perverts and people who hang out in parks and show their dicks to old ladies.
Did
I
want to
be out there. I want to get beat up and beat motherfuckers.
I
want to
get in it. I want to get in it
if you're a cop. Who wants to be in a desk for 20 years and tell your grandkids what?
What are you going to tell your grandparents? That damn phone hit me in
That's
the
what
ear.
I did. I
the
fucking drank coffee. I didn't see no action. You want
the phone beat the shit out of me.
And I'm that guy, though. I would not. There's no way.
Oh, I'm that guy, too. You think I want to get shot at? But why become a cop? It's to serve and protect, not to do fucking paperwork in a fucking cubicle.
Right. You don't become a cop to just
protect.
You can become a cop because you want to. You don't become a cop to be rich, let me tell you right now. Okay? You become a cop because you like helping people. You like being involved. I mean, that's really. I mean, I'm a people person, you see. I love people, you know? I mean, that's why I had a problem being a cop. I found out I cared too much. Like, I didn't want to write tickets. I got tears in my eyes writing people tickets because I know they had to pay the fucking things. So what I used to do was try to... this is what I really did. I would make up names. And I go by the fucking tombstones in Cypress Hills. And I'd take names down and their date of births. They were dead already. And I'd say they went through a red light on Atlantic Avenue and Essex Street. And you know, I'd say they had no license, no registration, and no insurance card on them. So I can give 4 tickets to nobody. And then at the end of the month, they say, did you write a book? I go, yeah. This month, I'll write you 2. How's that? The fuck? Because they want the book a month club, you know? To keep your seat, they want to make sure you... You know, and that was big to keep a seat, because otherwise you're walking the beat. Really, and cops, you know, who had a good beat. But, you know, East New York getting a good beat wasn't that, you know, it wasn't that many good ones, you know. I mean, you could find a good one anywhere. If you like the Boricua here or the black girl over there, you can have a good beat anywhere. Don't get me wrong, you know. I remember one time the fucking radio's going off to 1013 on Miller and Riverdale. I'm banging some chick on the corner, on Miller and Riverdale.
In your police uniform?
Well, I had it off. I couldn't bang away.
You were on the ship. Bro.
Yeah, that was my corner. I'm going 1013. I'm going. Somebody must have fucking saw me come in here. I'm putting my fucking uniform back on and shit, running outside. I'm on the scene. There's nothing going on here. So one of my guys drives by and goes, "Mikey, you all right? How's Maria doing?" I said, "You motherfucker, did you call that in?" I don't know if he did or not, but someone called a 1013 on that corner, Millen Riverdale. You know, but this is the shit that happens. You know,
Much of there is that? How much is like? How much fun do you have being a cop, even without the criminal aspect?
That's why I loved being a cop. I mean, and don't take this wrong. I mean, I loved the blood. I loved being in it. I don't mean I wasn't touching it and grabbing it. I just loved taking control of these intense situations. I learned it by watching some cop. I was in East New York about 2 weeks, and this cop, he's a big, tall, strapping Irish guy. I forget his fucking name. If I said Ryan, it could be Foley. I don't fucking know. But if I saw him, I'd know him. Anyway, he took control. He had his nightstick out, and he fucking took that stick out, and he put it down like this, and everybody fucking knew he meant business. And he had nothing but a nightstick, a gun, and some bullets. Look, you see these guys, they have the bandolier, it's all filled with shit. He had a nightstick, a gun, some bullets, and his handcuffs. That's it. And he just was just, you could tell he had that fucking instinct that if you cross this guy, and the guy had a fucking machete. It was a guy with a machete that he had. I didn't see the machete. This was impressed me so much. I didn't even see the machete. The machete was down the guy's leg, all the way almost to his fucking, you know, they put it down the side of their leg so they could pull the machete out like this. The machete's this fucking long. It's just a 2.5-foot machete. And the cop fucking takes the stick, blasts him with the stick, and then pulls the machete out. But I didn't see the machete. I had no clue. But this guy was so fucking, and I'm now a cop about a year and a half. I'm in East New York about 2-3 weeks, and he fucking pulls this machete out of this guy's pants. I'm like, holy fuck. There's 15 of us standing around not knowing nothing, and this guy fucking saw it, and he was just, he handled the scene so good. I'm like, this guy is my fucking idol. He became a detective, and he did really well, but it was such an intense moment. And it was, I mean, there was a crowd, you know, because it's just in the ghetto when shit's going down. Rather than people leave, the crowd builds. And he just took control of, I'd say 50 to 70 people. It was a hot summer night. Come on, you're out in them neighborhoods. A hot summer night. The people are out. You know, the zoo is alive. You know, something could happen from one. I mean, it was crazy. You know, it's a project, right? How many people live in a fucking building in a project?
And a white Irish guy is controlling them.
Controlling them. I was so fucking impressed with that. That was so powerful. I'm sweating thinking about it.
His experience on the job taught him how to. It's like a comedian they do comedy 20 years.
You run that stage.
When you see those cops, you fucking know it.
And the fucking people know it.
And the fucking people know it. The confidence know it. The confidence.
I learned from that fucking guy.
The confidence that comes out of them.
Confronts
people. And that's the thing about cops.
Yeah.
I tell you what they charge you with. And you spoke about it last night. That you said you went somewhere and the guy would give you a beer. When I was a kid, and I saw this in New York, the Bronx, and in New Jersey.
Right.
Every neighborhood had a cop, Lee.
How big was the neighborhood? How many blocks do you think?
Let's say, let's pretend Union City, where I grew up, my mom had the bar. El Chino, the Cuban Chinese cop, probably from 22nd to 30th Street, from New York Avenue to maybe Palisade and down. And he had a cop car somewhere, so if they got a call,
he could dump
and gun on the cop car. So you never knew where he hid the cop car. But you couldn't do nothing bad if you saw the cop car because you knew
Chino was out. He's out.
He's out.
Right.
So it was such a deterrent as a young man to me. Now, I would see Chino at Hernandez eating. I would see Chino at the New Moon Chinese restaurant eating. I would see Chino hanging out at Speakerman's eating. I would see Chino, and when I say eating, he would have conversations with the store owners.
Yeah, right.
He knew these guys.
Right.
His leg was up on the ice machine.
Right.
His hat was off. His jacket was off.
Right.
They were talking. There was no corruption. There was no shakedown.
Right.
You better give me this
No. They had a relationship.
So this happens. Now I hear over the years, you cannot do this no more. Cannot offer a cop a cup of coffee.
No, you can't. Yeah, yeah.
If a cop goes into 7-Eleven, you cannot.
This is what needs to change.
Now, but.
It needs to change.
If I'm on a plane.
Wrong.
If I'm on a plane.
Right.
And I see a soldier, and I want to give him my first class ticket. It's kind of the same. You understand?
Sure it is. Listen, you treat people we meet every day with common courtesies.
You can't do that no
more. You can't do that.
And they charged him with that. Now, when I was a kid, we had the Chino. Chino would come in the bar. He could have a drink. He would get a club soda. And my mom would go, Chino, tiene hambre. That means that you're hungry. Yeah. That moves on with Chito. You eat. You know why? Whether you're on the other side of the fence or not.
Doesn't matter. No one cares. You're not hurting anybody?
Hungry. No.
You're not hurting anybody? He's hungry.
When he goes to give...
They were family-like.
When he goes to give you money, you go, no, thank you. And it's understood.
Yeah.
We take care of you. We don't want nothing from you. We just want you to eat. So you know, and that was Chino.
You're a
that
human
was the
being,
cop I knew.
We know you.
He never shook down any.
Didn't have to.
He would go into Speakerman's. They'd give him a cookie and a cup of coffee and
like they do with their friends. I was in Vegas. I was driving home from Vegas, and I saw like three or four different breakfast place that said free coffee for limos and taxi drivers.
Yeah.
No purchase necessary.
Yeah, they're not getting arrested for giving them a fucking free coffee.
So if a limo driver can get it, which is a fine job, why can't a cop get it?
Speaking of limo driving jobs, do you know, did I tell you the story yesterday about that?
Yeah, yeah. You were driving the limo that. And yeah. The guy called
and they fucking, they wouldn't give me the job. Man.
Okay. Hey, don't, that's a part of society. That's people see felon.
Well, he was giving me the job, though. That's what pissed me off. He was giving me the job as a felon.
Hysterical. Today, somebody came to me in the gas station. I was pumping gas in my wife's rental car. We got to go pick up the fucking car Thursday tomorrow morning. I got to fill it up. While I'm filling it up, you know when you're thinking about something? God knows what you're thinking about. Something stupid.
So you're thinking about something.
Whatever the fuck it was I was thinking about, I was looking out like a moron into the fucking sky like something was going to come out of the
Right. You weren't focusing on the job at hand.
And all of a sudden...
We got a call coming in.
Oh, shit.
Uh-oh.
Shit. It's the man of motherfucking steel.
Is he in the church?
Oh, shit, man. It's Walter, man.
He's in the church. Walter!
What's up, Walter?
Yeah, man. It's the first time I've been in church since Easter 1982.
Wow.
That's a long time, my friend.
God bless you. Welcome to the church.
I was in high school. Thank you for calling in.
Let's make sure we mention his nephew. So,
yeah,
his nephew Joey.
Yeah, brother.
Joey. Happy belated birthday to you.
Thank you, my brother, Walter. Nice. It was very nice. 53.
And, God bless you. 43 years young.
53. You're looking 50 good. Fucking 3. I'm 53, 120 in cocaine
what
years.
What I give you, man. I said 43.
Fuck that. 53.
You earned it.
Slinging dick, slinging kettlebells, walking back and forth with the baby, the school. It's a fucking nightmare.
Hey, listen. You know, I've been tweeting in about the Fat Boys that we used to break down over there on in East New York. You know, the guy's name was Morales, not Diaz.
No,
and, see what I'm saying?
My guy's name is Marco D.
And Joey, he's got the same birthday as you.
Does he really?
68.
Oh, shit, okay.
Marky D is his name.
He was halfway there.
You know, he's fixed. Oh, I didn't say spicks. I said, you Latinos stick together.
Yeah. Beautiful. It's pretty weird, Walter, but when they talk you into this movie, it is one of the way they describe. He was fucking big.
Yeah. His hands.
His fucking hands look like the fucking.
You know, Adam isn't much taller than Lee. No offense, Lee. I love Lee.
Yeah. No,
Adam isn't much taller than Lee.
But that's crazy.
Everybody's hands are three times the size of Adam.
Fucking 5, 290, coming at you.
Yeah.
Going through windows, doors.
Pure adrenaline.
Having a great time.
Adam even
steroided up.
Steroided up, snorting.
Oh, yeah, that too.
We were talking about Walter.
Break your fucking neck if your neck needed a fucking breaking.
Walter, 2 weeks
ago. I was using so many steroids, I had to use the steroids, you know, so the cocaine wouldn't show.
Oh, my God, Walter, my friend called in here 2 weeks ago when we were kids in 1988. I would go to his house. His safe would be open. He'd have coke on the top shelves and Deca de Robin on the bottom shelves. He'd be on the phone selling blow. And he'd go, Ma, get in here. And she'd come in. She'd get the Deca ready for him. He'd bend over. He'd do a line of coke, and she'd shoot him in the ass with the steroid.
Oh,
tremendous.
My God.
You can't write that
shit. Can you get a fucking huge hard on? I mean, how's that?
Dog, he was... He was
fucking
huge.
Fill your fucking Schwanz
up. Who the
up?
Fuck would do a line of coke after a shot of steroids?
Oh my God.
That's crippled. That's, know, that's you, the 80s, you know, bitch.
You know, was.
That's
I
the fucking
did the
80s,
steroids.
Bitch.
I never
that's
did
the 80s.
I wish I. Now I'm jealous. Try that.
We came up to guys, you know, when me and Chicky were doing some wild shit, and, you know, and just like in the movie, like Mike said, you know, they would be the responding team, you know, and we would let them know where we're going and where we're going in. We would go into a place, you know, I'd climb through the fucking window, just like Chicky said. And, you know, I'd walk into a fucking Puerto Rican guy that was, you know, 6'9", 375 fucking pounds. And let me tell you, the only reason why I got away with what I got away with was because when I was in uniform, the biggest motherfuckers were the first ones to cry.
Yeah. You knew that.
And, you know, I would swing an axe handle or a baseball bat at his fucking leg, and he would fall down like he just came out of his mama's womb.
There you go.
You know, I dropped that fucking guy like he wasn't even, he didn't want to be there anymore. You know, somebody asked me on Twitter a couple of months ago about, you know, shooting people and putting shots over their heads. You know, that didn't work as well as swinging an axe handle.
Yeah, people
talk.
I had a guy.
I don't know why, but that's the way it works. And that was fine with me. You know, back then, between the steroids and the cocaine and the adrenaline, I didn't have a problem breaking
somebody's
head. Oh, my
God. Oh, my fucking God. You know what's crazy? When you're in the movie in the beginning and you're yelling and you're saying all that shit, freeze, get on the floor. I got goosebumps. I got fucking goosebumps.
Brought you back.
Because when I got locked up with this black dude named Etchie. And he would walk into the I was the head of the kitchen. I was the stock clerk in the kitchen of this fucking place.
Yeah, you kept the records.
And he would walk in and he'd look at me. And I'd tell him, like, don't do it. Because that meant the food, like shit on shingles. What it, you know, beef on shingles.
Shit
and
on shingles, shit. Yeah. Flat on rice.
And he would always yell from the back, freeze! And fucking black people would really respond to it.
They drop.
And the kitchen manager would always go, what the hell is wrong with you, Mr. Venable? Something. He had a weird name.
Venable. That's you. No, that's your guy. That gets fucking killed.
No, I was just thinking, I just saw, God bless his soul. I just saw his thing there. And whatever, he would say, whatever, Mr. Whatever, don't fucking come in here with that shit no more. And when you did it, and then after, I did it a couple times with the freezes and kick people. And,
just because you were playing cop?
And what? No, I was playing fucking
That's
Walter.
That's what I mean.
And Walter, when you say freeze, I know in my heart you love doing it. You love doing it. I don't give a fuck what anybody tells you.
Man, listen.
I don't give a fuck what...
Now,
what
now, also, you know... you know, Mike was talking about that he never had to take his gun out, and there's cops that are proud of it.
Took my gun out. Whoa! I didn't say I never. Out. I never said I never, didn't take my gun out, Walter. I never said that.
Well,
I said,
I mean, the shooting people.
I never shot anybody. Correct. Yes. Amen.
Okay. Well, I had two.
Yes.
I had two.
Right.
And Joey, they were both white guys in East New York buying drugs at a cheap price to bring back to Long Island to sell.
Right. Right.
Two white guys shot at me.
Right.
So, you know, this Black Lives Matter and Cop Lives Matter and stuff, you know, it's really kind of wide open because I was having white people shoot at me.
Yeah.
You know, and everybody knows my nephew, God bless him, got shot in the chest last week by 357 from some fucking mutt named Jamal. God bless him. He's alive. He's doing well. He's got a big bruise on his chest. And that's what cops are like. That's what cops need to do.
Yeah. Amen. Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
Thank God he survived.
I'm sweating listening to that. But anyway, God bless him.
No, Walter,
so how's Tennessee? How's Tennessee? Where are you
today? What part of Tennessee are you in?
I'm in Tennessee tonight. Yeah, okay. I'm in my log house in Tennessee.
Okay.
and, you know, people are slowly, surely figuring out around here that I am who I am. And they're wondering how I got this log house on the mountain in the middle of the fucking forest. Joey, my neighbor is seven little fucking guys with a hot brunette, you know, if you catch my drift.
Seven little
I live in the middle of fucking nowhere.
I'm going to go to Nashville.
I can see you going.
I'll be in Nashville August 23rd. I will be in Paducah.
About 80 miles south of Nashville.
There you go. I'll be in Jackson. The week before. Oh, yeah, I hit Tennessee all the time.
Oh, yeah.
And I'll be in Paducah March 18th to the 20th, which you could drive to Paducah.
Paducah, Kentucky. Send me some love. I'll go there.
Yeah, Paducah, Kentucky.
You know, it's only a couple hours from here.
But my wife is from, not Prestonburg, but the other fucking place that I can't remember now.
So you know, there's so many burgs and so many girls down here, I can't keep up with them.
She's a burg girl.
They eat fucking, they eat squirrels. That's all I know over there.
They eat coon, right?
But let me tell you something, man.
One of the sisters, one or the other.
That's a nice, nice part of the fucking country. You know,
oh, it's beautiful.
Quiet. People mind their business. You're very lucky you got out of there. I mean, I'm sure you miss New York. You know, you guys like you stand out like a motherfucker.
Yeah,
you do know that,
he's
right?
He's too fucked. Well, he found
Half
out.
The people think you're in the witness relocation plan.
Yeah.
Yeah. And that's what a lot of people think. You know, I moved away because, you know, I went to prison twice.
Yeah.
And, you know, if I go back a third time, I'm doing 25 years, you know, flat out because of Bill Clinton, you know, on the three strike rule.
Right.
You know, so
that's right.
I had to get the fuck out of Dodge. Right. And I did. You know, I raised a family. You know, I had a wonderful job for 20 years and I'm semi-retired now.
Yeah. I've always been a little retarded.
You know, I have a son. And, you know, I have a lady friend who takes care of me, who looks after me, you know, because, you know, dude, I'm pushing fucking 60. You know, I ain't that fucking wise guy back in 1987 or 1986 when Michael Dowd was getting me in trouble.
Yeah, I know, you wise guy. You tried to drag me to the crack house, you fuck, the first day I met you. I saved you from that.
He's trying to bring me to some crack house.
He goes, they're selling drugs over there. I said, no fucking kidding. You don't know who I am. I go, of course they're selling drugs. That's what they do around here.
Then I got him to take his clothes off.
Hey, I got him to take his clothes off. I gave him some of the hamburgers, but I had the hot sauce on it. This guy's eating hot sauce. He's taking his clothes off. The sweat's coming off the top of his fucking head.
I can't eat that shit, man. It was November. It looked like I took a shower.
He's fucking sweating. He's taking his coat off. I go, what the fuck is wrong with you? I didn't know he was on steroids and cocaine and everything else.
I took my shirt, my bulletproof vest, and sitting in Michael Dowd's car. And you know, I was soaking fucking wet.
Until he gets pulled
in. You know, if anybody saw those pictures on Twitter, you know, last month when we were in Miami, we were both wearing pink shirts. And, you know, we looked like two douchebags. We looked like we just got fucking married.
Yeah, it was good. That was fun.
So, you know, we had a ball. You know, Michael is my more than adopted brother.
Amen.
And always has been.
Amen.
You know, my family, besides my mom, God rest her soul,
amen,
turned their backs on me in 1988 and 89.
Right. Walter stayed with me for a year when he was out on bail. You know, I mean, what was I going to do? You don't turn your back on his wife after a couple of weeks.
Listen, you know, you got to pick something. And he said to her, you know, okay, where are you going to go? And he dropped her off over at Kenny and Dory's house.
Yeah, and it's between me and Walter. Where are you going?
Until he dropped me to prison in July of 1989.
Yeah. Thanks, Walter. So, you know, thanks for the shout out. You know, just true character. That's what we are. You know. That's how we keep it
you
real.
Know, Michael stood by me. You know, there were so many people during that year, 1988 to 1989, when I was under indictment, that, you know, why does Michael have Walter over at his house?
I got a lot of shit trying to make sure that
Walter don't rat on him and blah, blah, blah.
I was trying to keep you alive.
I never had any intention. I never had any intention on ratting Michael out.
Well,
you know, when I got there, he told his father my name was Steve because people didn't want his dad to know.
Right.
People have no idea what happens when you get arrested and your names are in the paper. People really have no idea that everybody turns their back on you.
Everybody.
People that you took care of will turn their back on
you. I don't know your name.
But there's always two, maybe three guys that go, listen, don't come over to the house in the daytime. You know, the neighbors, whatever. But I'll see you here, and I got paper for you.
Right.
So I know where you're coming from, Walt. And I know that, you know, the love that it takes for people to do that. Because when my name came out in the paper after that, people stopped talking to me.
Mm-hmm.
People stopped talking to my girlfriend.
The guy who you fucking shoveled his driveway don't want to talk to you anymore.
Nobody wants to talk to you no more.
Yeah.
It's a It's a very weird sincerity.
We do deserve that opprobrium. You deserve that fucking castigation. However, what we're here about today is to talk about the future. You know, when a cop fucking... human beings fuck
up. Well, this show is about second chances.
That's what
I'm
saying.
This show has always been about second chances, whether it's addiction, whether it's getting busted, whether it's fucking fear, you know, it's second chances.
Right.
And listen, man, I watched all of you guys on this documentary. And like I said, I watched documentaries 6, 7, 8 minutes. Half of them are bullshit. You guys, you showed one thing. You did it. You did your time. You learned the lesson. You move forward. You know what? You had a good time doing it. That's why you were fucking doing it.
I was doing it.
If I'm telling you that the precinct next door just got hit and they're coming here next, and you're still going to fucking Chango's house to pick up a small a kilo and a fucking... You're crazy.
Yeah.
But who could judge you at that point? You got powder going through your hair, steroids, booze. You know,
pussy everywhere.
You got this chick shacked up. This guy's waiting on you. You got... It's
you get me jacked up here, bro. What are you fucking trying to do to me?
It's overwhelming because I was there. I know what it's been like to go, you know what, I got a job. I don't give a fuck. I want to sell coke. And
you know, it's unbelievable, bro.
We got to do that.
I got pinched in 88, and, you know, I got 2.5 to 7.5 in 89. I started July 4th in 1989. I come out January of 92.
And what happened?
You know who the first motherfucker who I called was? Tell him, Michael.
I don't remember his
Michael
name.
Michael fucking Dowd.
Called me, Michael.
I know you did, motherfucker.
I called him the next fucking morning.
And what happened? What happened the first day after that? After you banged Cookie out, then what happened?
He got me a job.
That's right.
Down in my precinct.
In my fucking 9-4 precinct, Pat and Dom's auto body shop.
Towing job.
So I was responding. I had it all set up. I got Walter the job. Yeah. I'm the responding cop. I got every vehicle in the fucking city coming to my hands.
I'm making 10% on every fucking job.
I'm making $400 I got Walter walking them.
More than I fucking made when I was in the fucking
police department. He started out making more towing than he was making in the police department.
Yeah. And then I smacked up one of his fucking trucks.
Wrecked the fucking truck.
And then Kenny got me a job in East New York. And you know, the rest is, you know.
Well, Kenny, is he the one who asked you to sell cocaine for him?
I don't want to get into that. I tweeted last week or 2 weeks ago, you know, that we all need to get into a fucking room and start each, asking each other.
Well, that's up to him.
No, leave him out of here. He ain't here to protect himself. Fuck it. Let's move forward here.
You know, I don't want to comment on that. You know, I like Kenny.
Yeah, it's all
yeah, no, no.
You know, I know what he did, you know, and hey, aside from that, when I was filming my part of the documentary, you know, they put me in some fucking loft up on West 9th Street and Lexington Avenue in New York in December 2012, right after the fucking, that storm, Sandra. Anyway, you know, I'm up there, you know, and, you know,
it's a nice way of saying Sandra.
You know, this guy, you know, is bringing me into New York, and I don't like New York much, you know. A little leery, and so we go up to this loft, and you know, okay, everything was cool, you know, the cameras were there, everything was there, but you know, you never know. Anyway, the guy asked me, he says, "Well, how'd you feel about going to prison?" So, well, you know, tell her, dude, you know, I didn't fucking like going to prison, you know, and basically, you know, I didn't have to go to fucking prison,
right.
You know, either time, because, you know, it was twice. I was indicted twice, 88 and 92. And, you know, I didn't feel it in my heart that I had to, you know, snitch on anybody or, you know, or tell on anybody.
How were you pressured a lot? I'm sorry, were you pressured a lot to rat?
Well, you know, the police department, you know, when the 7-7 went down, because they grabbed two guys, you know, Winter and Ragnar, you know, we got you. And then they, you know, started wearing wires and got the other 13 or 14 guys. When I was pinched, it was too public for them to approach me. And I told Killer Russell, you know, the director of the show, you know, on film, and it's all on the cutting room floor, that, you know, we all had plans. We all had a plan, probably, to get out of whatever we were in trouble with. My plan, if they approached me like Winter and Ragney to wear a wire, I definitely would have signed an agreement, and I would have strapped that fucking tape recorder to my muscular calf, and I would have wrapped that fucking car around the tree the first night.
There you go. Done.
Period. Out. Line of duty. Done. Right. Now I can't work with them. I'm working for the police department. Now they got to pay me $3/4.
For the rest of your fucking life.
That was my plan, but that never happened, because when I was arrested in 1988, it was on the news 2 hours later.
Yeah.
There wasn't nothing they could do about it. So my plan fell through. And, you know, I went to jail for 2.5 years.
You came out in great shape, Walt. You looked great when you came out, by the way. You fucking tight.
Yeah, I looked like a bed. I looked better than I did when I went in.
That's for sure.
I looked better when I did when I went in.
Well, that's what usually happens. Yeah, you know, you're not doing bad habits.
In the middle of a lot of shit.
Yeah.
You know, I knew what was going on in the street. You know, Michael was busy. Kenny was busy. Other people were busy. And I stayed away from it all. I think Michael, you know, Joey, find a Bible if you can, if it don't turn on fire if you touch it. And give it to Michael. He could swear on that Bible I didn't do a fucking thing when I come out in 92.
Yeah, I know.
But they were watching him. He paged me.
You know what, Walter? The one thing that you skipped over that was very important in my life was his mother, who was dying of cancer, by the way, God bless her, came to see me.
Yeah, my mom.
She came to see me to tell me that Walter says they're coming up to see him about you. And Walter's car was in the one they grabbed from him was in the impound, and they put it right in front of me because they thought I was going to try to steal the car to get rid of the evidence. I already sent the fucking Dominican to Dominica. I already took the guy was out of the country. His case was closed. They were done. They couldn't charge him. He was gonna, I don't know if he gets his job back, but they couldn't fucking prosecute him because they had a Dominican guy chased back to the Dominican Republic. Internal Affairs went to Dominica and brought him back and kept him in protective custody until
they kidnapped him.
They threatened to put his sister in prison and take the kids away from her his sister as well. I mean, we had it all wrapped. It was done. The shit that people don't know about.
Jeff and Chicky, we were all walking away from that.
Yeah. Three guys getting their lives back until Internal Affairs went to the Dominican Republic and grabbed them and brought them back. Cocksuckers.
Fucking tremendous. Walter, I'm going to have you call in. We're going to wrap it up here because we got about 15 minutes left.
Yeah.
So we're going to wrap it up here, but I'm going to have you call in some other time. We got two more questions from my man, Mike. I love you, man. Thank you for taking the time out tonight.
I love you, too.
We'll have you call
Michael,
in.
Love you, Joey,
stay black, brother.
All. God bless.
Say, you too, love brother. Love you, Walt, buddy.
Go ahead, Lee. What were you thinking about, Lee?
Well, I was wondering if any cops ever, like any good cops, were ever like, hey, stop it. Or like we're going to hurt you, or we're going to, like, did anyone, because you always talked about how all the cops were like, go dirty. Did any cops ever like.
One time, a young rookie cop, when I was in the 9-4 precinct, tried to turn me in for fucking drinking, but he wouldn't say why. What it was, I went to the bar, I picked up a drink. And he saw me come in and come out. And he knew there was a fucking drink. I said, you want one? He goes, no. I said, all right. The next day, he told, I was in the car with him again. Because my partner was out. My partner went through the windshield of his car. Dropped me off at 4:30 in the morning. I said, do a couple of bumps. You gotta. You're going to fucking drive back to fucking Valley Stream? He goes, yeah. I go, it's 4:30 in the morning. We've been drinking all day. You got to do something. He goes, no. I said, stay at my house. Bank my wife. Stay, please. Don't drive home. Ends up going through the windshield of his car. He's out for 6-8 months, whatever it was. I end up with these couple of different people in the car. So this rookie gets in the car with me one day, and I want to test him a little bit. So I go to the fucking. He's going to be a hard one to break, but I want to see. This is the one mistake I make. I go in, I come out with two. He goes, no, I don't want any. The next day, he refuses to get in the car with me. He doesn't say what I did, but he refuses to get in the car with me. They start this big fucking investigation now. So now he dragged the kid in and say, why won't you get in the fucking car with Dowd? He says, I just don't want to work with him. He didn't want to say why, but it was pretty clear that something was wrong. But they wouldn't fucking work with him again, anybody in that precinct. Nobody. I mean, what did I do? I got to go, because everybody liked to knock him back. You know, it was the end of the 80s, the 90s. We, you know, put the hole in the floor with the ice bucket and in the back of the patrol car. Everybody was knocking him back when they could, you know. It was a fucking free-for-all, but... No one would work with that kid. That kid's fuck. I guarantee that kid's career was ruined for that. So, yeah. I mean, well, I don't know. He was a good cop. He was a prick. I wasn't fucking shaking anybody down. I was having a cold one. Doing my regular stops. I mean, does that make him a good cop? I guess in your book it might.
I don't know.
Fuck you. Don't fucking work with me. You can't have a fucking cold fucking cocktail. That's why you got a badge, right? So you can do shit like that. Back in the day, not today. The world is different. Come on.
Listen, if you're a CEO of a Christian group, you go to lunch, you're going to turn one fucking back. As long as you weren't drinking 19 of them in
that's
the fucking cop car,
let me tell you,
you were drinking one
fucking,
or fucking two.
The fucking inspector said that to us.
I know how the fucking
go
works.
Have one.
Go have a beer for lunch
have
with a sandwich.
One. Exactly.
I'm not mad at you. And New York people brown bag all the fucking time. It's if you get six of them in a fucking bar.
You're irresponsible.
You know what I'm saying? That's the other fucking thing. Right. You spooked this fucking kid. This kid only fucking.
Well, he must have been.
He must have seen something.
Well,
else.
No. He knew. They know who I am. Everybody did. And this kid was on probation. He was scared to death. He didn't want to lose his job, which he's smart in that respect. But instead of losing his job, now he lost his career. But you know, no one want to fucking work with this guy ever again. Guaranteed.
I mean, you were talking early on in the hearing about being good and how it kept you safe.
Right.
So, if he wanted to switch partners, couldn't he have just done it in a different way? Like, just gone about it?
No, because you're assigned to work with somebody in the patrol car. So, when the roll call comes out, you're working with Dowd tonight. Most people would have shot a load though working with me. They're fucking excited because they're gonna have a good day. They're gonna have a lot of fun.
But couldn't he like go up to somebody and say, switch with me?
Fucking listen, I had a great day every fucking day. I used to go to people's homes. They used to invite me in for Sunday dinner. I mean, this is for real. Like in the 90s, I was going to people's homes, parking a patrol car in their driveway. I don't know them.
Walking in with a uniform, sitting down,
eating the full. You know, the Italians, they eat fucking 6 hours on a Sunday. I'd leave the house to go to work. My wife at the time say, no, I'm good. I'm going to work. I'll be fine when I get there. And I'd sit down and have a 6-course meal.
People loved you. They knew what you did.
They loved me.
They knew what you were doing. And you were out of fucking control. And you didn't give a fuck.
I loved
you
it.
Tell me that with it. The red Corvette. You tell
I
me
loved
that.
It.
You tell me that. You know, but listen.
It was a fucking fun. It was fun.
I got out of jail and I got a job at this car wash. And believe it or not, brothers.
You got a job. You got a fucking job.
This fucking car wash was a fucking cash cow. This guy was a booster of the college. He had homes all over the fucking world.
Wow.
Him and his beautiful white wife. He was 70. She was 44.
Oh,
fake tits. There's Gitas. I used to say, this guy's got a lot of Gitas. You know, all the cops went in there, all the detectives, all the DAs, all the college people went in there. And then he had all the rich students, and he had all these people. Believe it or not, it was $19.95 for a car wash. If you put Armor on, it was $24.95. You know, I would sit there. The guy was paying me $10 an hour, 3 days a week, 10 to 6, 8 hours. What can I make? You know, $10 an hour plus commission.
Eight,
he used to tell me the most you could make is $16 an hour if you sell 4 of these an hour. I was a good salesman.
Okay.
I was hitting $16 an hour every day.
Okay.
But then the chick came to me one day. She goes, you know, we get a lot of people with cash. What if you put a little circle on the tickets and we'll split the money at the end of the night? This bitch was showing up. You know, every night, and she was a thief, Mike.
She was banging me
twice a day.
I
used to tell her, just give me one envelope. She was giving me 2,000 an envelope, 1,000 envelope. The day wasn't even over. She was already handing me 1,000. But her uncle was a sheriff in Boulder, so she could always count on him if something went down. This went on, Mike, for a year.
Wow.
I had money at the house.
You were fucking heaven.
I had money in the house. I couldn't even deposit.
Were you banging a chick?
Not at all. I had a baby girl at the time. I had a wife at the house.
Okay.
She was an ugly little critter, but I hugged her.
Oh, you
Nobody
loved her.
Ever talked to her. I talked to her.
You worked her.
And, no, I didn't even work her.
She
I just
wanted
liked
the money.
Her.
She liked the money.
She just came to me and she goes, you know, a lot of money goes through here. And I looked at her like, this is weird coming from here. At first, I suspected maybe
an
encroachment, whatever the fuck
slick.
You call that shit.
Entrapment,
whatever. And this bitch started popping off envelopes. But you know what, I used to go to this expensive restaurant at the time, Ladisio. My wife was pregnant. I was in the halfway house for selling coke. It went through my pores. And I'm working at this car wash at the halfway house. And you're supposed to have 40 on you. The most you could have in this halfway house is 40 bucks.
Yeah.
I got 4,000 in the car.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm driving. It's crazy.
Yeah.
And I'm thinking about all this, and I remember one day I go, I gotta quit this fucking job. They gotta catch me. I'm in Boulder, which is a small community.
Right.
They're gonna catch me. My probation officer's gonna find out. Everybody's gonna find out why I got fired from here. And do you know, I went in there one day and I gave my 2-week notice, and they never caught me. Because
one of the only crimes you fucking truly got away with because you quit.
Not that, because I know it pained me. When I found that I had to give that job up, it pained me. That job put me back on the map.
Oh, yeah. That's
that
a lot
job,
of cash.
That job, I was putting 4,000 in a fucking hole away once a week.
Were you washing the cars?
No, I was pressing buttons.
I was with a pad and a piece of paper.
What would you like?
Yeah. How are you doing? Welcome to the Puddle Car Wash. What can I get you? I'm looking to get the special with the $9.95 one. Yeah. Listen, give me $14.95. Let me throw some Armor. Let me throw some
job.
Rims.
I'll give you
blah, 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 blah. Really?
Job.
For 14? What would you charge me for the 21? Give me 30 and I'll charge you the whole thing. I'll throw in the undercoating for free. You're paying cash today? Yes, I am. Wow.
Yeah.
That's it. and he would pay $4.99. Let's say the ticket was $34.99 plus tax. The kid would pay $4.99. She would ring up $4.99 and keep the $30.
Right.
And that she did that 10 times an hour.
But what happened to all your sales? Like, were you worried you were going to lose your job because all your
the
sales?
The Visa went? People.
Oh.
Swipe.
And I always sell the accessories. So she would get them for the basic car wash, which is $4.95 plus something. A rim cleaner. She would always get them for something. And they would pay me big commissions. Like if I did 10 Armorals in a day, they would give me $50. But they gave me something
else on top.
That sounds
like a good job.
This was a fucking phenomenal job. They never caught on that the dude that's doing his job, if he's a slick hustler, can make some bank. Plus, he controls the whole thing because I could send him to the detail shop. But my point in the story was that I was 30 fucking years old, Mike. My wife thought I was an angel. Meanwhile, she would go to bed with the baby. And I'd snort a fucking 8-ball in 2 hours. You know what I'm saying? Yeah, and I'd jerk off for 3 hours. Oh, yeah. And I'd go to bed before she'd wake up. My heart would be tame. By the time she'd wake up, oh, my God, how did you sleep? Fantastic. I did this every night. I was living a fucking lie. And one day I woke up and I got to quit that job.
Yeah.
Because they're going to catch me stealing. It's going to be all fucking over. And I quit. You know, I've always been able to fucking sneak out before they got
when I was in a halfway house. I ended up moving in with the chick from the halfway house.
I'm sure you did. I'm sure you did.
I was
did.
Bagging her on her boyfriend's couch. He's like, yeah, come on in. Because he's done with her. He wanted, I didn't know. He wanted to get rid of her. I'm walking around naked in this guy's living room banging this chick. The fucking phone's ringing. Because they checked the house, you know, in the 2 in the morning, 3 in the morning.
Right, they checked the
scene. She's all fucked out. She's sleeping like a lamb, right? And the phone's ringing, and you can't punch her awake. You can't beat her to death. She only wakes up when she wakes up. It's like she can't wake up. So I'm answering the fucking phone. They're going, hi, Dad. They fucking know it's me because they used to call me at my house. I used to have the home confinement thing. You know, they call your house in the morning. So I'm like, who? I go, no, this is Joe. You know, Joe. They go, okay. No, it's me. I'm banging the chick in the halfway house. I'm not allowed to date a girl.
No, you don't have to date people.
For probation.
Now.
For probation, you can't date.
You me. Never stopped. Like, you never stopped. Like, you never stopped. Like, you never stopped. Trust me.
That's not true. No, I did fucking 12 and a half years.
You've
I stopped.
You never stopped. You never stopped. You're a
Joey.
Fucking savage, and that's why I love you.
Joey.
I ain't mad at you.
I wanted to get laid. You spent 12 and a half years in cancer.
Listen,
you fucked the wall
oh, please.
If you stand still.
Listen, I didn't go to prison. I almost spent 12 years without getting laid. Look at the shape of it. Who the fuck do you think
How was
doing?
That? You better off in the joint.
It's a fucking nightmare. I was trying to think of birthdays. I remember my 25th birthday, whatever the fuck it was. On my 22nd birthday, all I wanted was a piece of pussy. Mm-hmm. That's it. You ever just want a good piece of fucking malanga and sniff it and fucking finger bang a muffler and eat a muffler?
Get the fuck out of here.
That's all I want.
I'm going to chew on the mic here in a second.
I ended up eating Chinese food and going to a movie.
There you go.
The best Chinese food I ever had.
Yeah, it was like you had an orgasm.
And I forget what movie it was, but it's a, you know.
You're a savage.
The point
You're
is.
You're a fucking savage.
It's And I hope that this cigar business gets your mind at ease. You know what I'm saying? You like cigars, maybe you don't. I don't give a fuck whether you do.
It's a nice cigar.
It's a nice cigar. It's got Dominican leaves and the whole fucking thing.
Yeah.
You know, you donate some to the PBA.
Absolutely.
Anything.
But, you know, I don't want to be told what to do. You know, that's what I didn't write. You know what I mean? I know what I'm doing. I don't need people to tell me what to do. I haven't made a dime yet. I'm in the hole for a couple grand. This isn't even my product. This company, Palma, in Dominica, they produced it. They asked me to help market it with them. I'm doing what I can. I don't want to make money. I want to see everybody. I want to do something private, though. I don't want to make a big scene about something. You know what I mean?
I know.
So, you know, this fucking posting, you know, it screwed everything up today, you know. It put some people in a bad place. You know, I got cousins. My phone was ringing. I left here last night. I didn't get to sleep till 2 o'clock after I jerked off. I don't remember. And then It was 5:30 in the morning. My phone's ringing again. You know, it's because New York people, it's 8:30 in the morning, and it didn't stop for hours and hours. I was on the phone today for about 7 hours, handling all this damage control bullshit. You know, they don't want to give you a chance. You know what I mean? They got to take your fucking knee off my the back of your neck.
My daughter never stops. It never stops.
You know what? I'm not going to stop that either, okay?
It never stops till you stop. You know the deal. It never stops till you stop.
Then let's keep going. Then let's keep rolling, buddy.
That's the thing.
Let's keep it rolling.
I'm really fortunate that I always got in this fucking stupid fucking comedy shit.
Thank God.
And I played till 2005. I played till 2007 because every time I got in that fucking car and got a gram of blow and drove, 1,000 things could have happened.
Oh, yeah.
1,000 things could happen. And I'm going to sit here and tell you I was a saint. I was opening up the bag, crushing the rock with one hand.
While driving.
And no, at the light. I'd put the fucking thing in there and snort the whole gram in one fucking nostril.
My God.
Before, and I'd throw the baggie out, lick the dollar bill, which had hepatitis or whatever the fuck it had on it. And then I'd fucking put it in my pocket and go home like nothing happened. So I can't tell you I wasn't out of control. But everything changed when I stopped. You know, I'm like, you just stop.
Yeah, you got to stop. Yeah.
You got to stop everything. Yeah. You got to stop everything. Even the little things that you think that, you know.
Yeah.
That's it. You're a fucking, fucking phenomenal guy. You got loyalty.
Thank you.
You have feelings. You're sensitive. I seen it, how you fucking got upset. I'm the same way. People do something, they have no idea. This guy has no idea.
I'm worried about my friends. I ain't worried about me.
This guy has no idea how upset I get when I get reports he goes to Subway sandwich. Explain to him how. He's from Boston. Huh. I'm from Jersey. I got the highest respect for him.
But the Subway.
He breaks my heart. He does kettlebells. He goes to the gym. He takes ballet with his wife. He does the stuff with the bar.
The guy lost 90 fucking
20
pounds.
Fucking 7 years old. He goes to Subway. Instead of getting a nice fucking sliced turkey. Look at him. I'm 53. I'm an old fucking man. But I know if I was 27, I'd be looking like Rambo before the operation. You understand?
Jacked.
I'd be jumping off of fucking buildings and shit.
I'm trying to get there, but...
No, I see that. I saw you.
Subway is... I don't know. Everyone goes to Subway.
Fuck Jared. I told you, Jared was fucking 14-year-olds. That's why he lost weight and burnt carbs. Not because he was a nice guy.
No, from chasing him down, probably.
So the one thing I wanted to ask you about was Diaz. What kind of balls do you have to request $25,000 just to meet a mob boss? And then, look, what if he said no? Like, what if he was pissed off?
He had to say yes.
He wasn't real.
He had to say yes.
If he would have said no, he wasn't real.
He
got the right guy, and he met the right guy.
He had to say yes. There's no getting around this. I mean, he's going to show up with the money. Because if he knew the game was on, he might have showed up with the money and said, look, it's not going to work, but here's your 25 grand for the discussion. Otherwise, his store would have been closed down. I would have been sitting in front of it all day long. And I would have fucking took him down then.
That was one of the most brilliant things I ever heard, because in my background, everybody always knows when you sell cars, people always ask for a deposit. People always, you know, one of the most brilliant things about Marlon Brando was when he moved to the island, people go, I'd love for you to read a script. Okay, 50,000. They go, what are you talking about? You know how many fucking scripts I get sent?
Right.
I want to know you're real. Yeah. Before I read this fucking script, these are the details. I'm going to change this. I'm going to do this. I'm going to do this. I'm going to do this. But I want you to pay me. And I don't know what the number was.
Right, right.
But just the thought
that
you had to pay him to read the script gave him so much fucking power. And if you didn't pay him, then he didn't give a fuck because you ain't real.
You ain't real.
In his world, you ain't real.
That's good.
What a quick way to pick. I have a dear friend who's a comedian. And when he first started, he signed with a manager. And his manager and him came to an understanding. I do not want to dick around. If I'm not getting paid, I don't want to do it.
Don't waste my fucking time.
And today they're both gazillionaires. And this guy lives by his own morals, his own. He does what he wants. And people know when they phone him that they're going to, because the guy did the math.
Right.
30 years ago, the guy did the math on how much a sitcom really makes. And he breaks it down for him and says, this is what you want to give me and this is what you're making?
Right.
And especially
if I don't show up, it ain't happening. If I don't show up,
he buries people.
Yeah,
buries people. Yeah. People hate him. As soon as you tell people he's your manager, they know. They're like,
"What's his name? I may have to fuck."
No, they go. There goes the back.
I may have to call him.
No, because you know how these fucking savages are. They get pissed off. But that's what I see in you, man. You're a sweetheart of a guy. You know what? You made a mistake. That's it. And you know what? You paid a fucking tremendous due. 12 years for some people is a fucking lifetime. You paid for everything you did. If anybody knows the meaning of karma, it's you. You know what karma is.
Thank you.
Every day when you woke up, you said, today I'm paying for this. Every morning when you woke up, you thought of a scenario that you had done. Somebody you pulled over, something.
And every
you,
day.
Every morning. Every, that's what people don't understand. Yeah, right. It's a prison inside around you, and you think about it. It reminds you every fucking day as you're walking. You watch those movies where people have flashbacks. You have flashbacks of everything you did. Even if you forgot about that thing, you have a flashback. Oh.
I have a million fucking stories. They never escape. And every night, every day.
Every day.
I went to prison. My son was in kindergarten. I came home. He was going to fucking Northeastern University. Now, that's a fucking, think about it. Kindergarten, Northeastern University. I was in the halfway house. I begged him, can I go to his graduation? Anyway, it's the cost, people have no idea,
that's why before you judge somebody who's a felon sometimes, and there's people that you see that are just, listen, you're sitting there saying to me, well, Joey, what's the difference between a burglar and a child molester? You know what I'm saying? Listen, read into this. There's people who deserve a second chance sometimes in life. They just made a mistake, man. And there's people who take back a second chance. I decided to take a second chance. I took it. I knew nobody was going to give me a second chance. And that's what you're trying to do. You're trying to start a business.
I don't want any fucking help. I do it myself.
You're doing it on your own. You're not looking. Yeah. Right now, you know, you get a check from the government every month. You're disabled. You're a felon.
Yeah.
Right now, go to a psychiatrist and say, I'm hearing voices. I hear black people yelling at night in my cell.
Guns are going off.
They cut your check for $800 a month.
I want to hang myself.
And you become a fucking burden on society. You gain 400 pounds. You start going to scooter. You go to casinos. And that's it. No, you don't do shit. That's what happens. You're at least
trying something.
Trying to make it work. So I applaud you. That's why I'm happy you came out. That's why I did what I did for you to come out.
I did the right thing.
I love you sincerely. I love your eyes. And I know you're going to make it work in the future, whatever you're doing. You got mine and Lee's support. And who gives a fuck about a fat
spit? You know what I'm going to try to
do? But a Jew. Forget about it.
You know what I'm going to do? I think I'm going to try to do something with radio with another cop. Like a good cop, bad cop show or something like that. I think it would really work. I think I could actually affect the community.
Right here.
Really,
what we're doing right here with another cop instead of me and Lee.
Yeah, and I love you guys. I'd do this. If you guys pay me, I'd stay.
No. What I'm saying is you need somebody next to you.
Keeping it real.
To call society's faults right now.
Right.
Society's got a lot of shit going on. You know, that thing in Chicago with the kid just unfiring bullets at him and the black kid, smoke coming out of his
T-shirt. That was horrible.
It's horrible. What's going on right now is horrible.
That was
and how these police departments are covering it up. And those people that are getting shot, they need a voice. If you're willing to do this with the sincerity, a white, black cop, I wish you all the luck in the world. If I could do anything for you, if you're going to be a voice for these people
but there's a voice for the police and the community.
And for everybody. Because this is the other side. There's another side to being a cop also.
Right. Humanity.
That people don't see that I see. But right now, it's a different time. These cops never really had life training. They believe what they were taught. They never really had life training.
Yeah, well, some people... Listen. Joey, some people just don't know how to do it, okay? You can train anybody till they're fucking blue in the face. Most cops, the reason is one dead person too many is too many, right? We agree. But the reason there isn't more dead is because most of these guys are pretty restrained. But it's the one guy that ends up on fucking YouTube hitting a guy 11, 12 times that's on the ground. He's fucking bouncing. What are you doing? Doesn't make sense. That's all I got to say. I don't want to talk about that shit.
Let me give some shots.
Go ahead.
Dean Giuliano, Fishman, My Info, Ookie Spooky, You Sexy Savage, Us, Warrior, Joe Fentross, Jimmy, my man that came up to me in the casino. I love you, cocksucker, from Chicago. We're just going to call you Jimmy Vegas. and my man Jonathan Hernandez. What are you, fucking nuts or what? 20 to life. No parole. Lee Syatt, what's happening? Why are you sitting there all timid looking like somebody's taking your lunch money? All I gave you was 400 digits tonight. What's the problem here?
He's doing better.
He's doing good tonight.
You fucking almost killed him last night.
Yeah, he was fucked up.
I was calling ambulances for the 2 years last night.
No, I was good. I was just nodding over here for a second. What were you going
to
say?
You fell asleep in the middle of talking to me.
I know I did. What happened, brother? What question? What do you want to wrap this up with?
I'm trying to look and see what it would be a good question to ask about.
What fucked you up the most about this? And we're all family here. We could all talk.
You're allowed.
Go ahead.
Were you mad about the kidnap? Come on. Bring it out.
Even I was scared of cops, but like you said, you were right. Officer Rocky was a fucking cool guy. If I saw Officer Rocky right now, I'd give him a hug. And
so why couldn't you carry that through?
No. I can. And obviously, when people know you, they end up liking you.
Right, thank you.
But the thing that when people watch it, and that's what... For Joey, for people who didn't grow up on that, it doesn't make sense at all. And I can see where some police officers get upset,
right?
Because of what you did, and you don't.
So can I, by the way.
So yeah, what would you like? You're here trying to make a living. You're here trying to better yourself. But what do you say to people who say, well, you don't deserve to be able to do that?
Well, I say, then what are you going to do with somebody? Put him in the fucking grave? You know, what do you do? You're going to give people a second chance in life? You got to give them a full second chance in life. I'm not saying give them a gun and badge back, but you got to let them go live a life. You know, you can't get in their way. Don't get mad if the guy's hacked. You know, what it is, it's the haters. It's not the... Look... If a guy doesn't like you because he's a cop and you disparage the badge that he wears, you know what? Tell him to look around to his left and his right. He might find someone doing the same fucking thing. You know, I mean, it's over. I did my time. I paid my debt back to society. So I understand if you don't like me. You don't have to. I'm not asking you to like me. I want everybody to love me. Never mind like me. But if you don't, it's okay, you know? Just don't be trying to prevent somebody from moving forward in their life, because that's not what our society is about. And that's what pisses off other people. True. I know what it's like to be ostracized and castigated because of what I did. I accept my punishment in life, but stop. Take the fucking knee off the neck and let the guy live. Any one of us. Felon, non-felon... You fucked up. You know, you gotta lock him up like Gingrich once said. You either kill him or let him out when they let him out.
Tromboli said that when you walked by him, he got the sense that you were a part of a criminal.
Right.
Do you think if you walked to, like, do you think you're still giving off that thing, or do you think you changed?
Well, maybe it's confidence that he lacked. That's what I would say. He probably lacked his own confidence. He might have been, you know, a little soft in the pants or something. I don't know. I don't have to fucking tell you. I was a cop. People loved me, respected me. I controlled my fucking beat. I walked into a store, the fucking bodega owners put their arm around me, took out the Remy, have a fucking shot, have a beer. I walked into a precinct, every fucking officer looked at me.
What did it feel like when you put the uniform on?
I looked like fucking Wyatt Earp. I had my I love fucking, it was like, this is embarrassing. It was. I loved it. It was like sex. It was so fucking good. I put that uniform on. I never buttoned my... I was pretty good shape. I never buttoned my top button up. My fucking chest was hanging out. No bulletproof vest. The bosses are like, where's your vest? It's in the car. I'll get it on later. You got it, boss. I loved it. Just loved it. Oh, I'm getting fucking sweaty. I just loved being out there in that fucking uniform. And even, you know what the thing was? This is what people don't realize. Even at a uniform, you still controlled the fucking ghetto. It was the way you walked. It was the way you fucking didn't give a shit when you walked into... I mean, you know, the fucking ghetto was dangerous, dude. But you walked into a bodega. You owned the place. You walked down Pickin Avenue where all the fucking crack dealers were and all the fucking shootings and killings going on. They knew. They used to say, hey, officer, how you doing today? It was like... God, you were walking in parting the seas, wherever the fuck you went. It was amazing, that feeling. It was amazing. Sometimes I still feel like it, too. I don't, you know, I mean, I'm a little more cautious. I'm old now. You know, they might catch me. But back then, when I was 20-something years old, I was quick, I was strong, I had a gun. Who the fuck's better than you? money now. I'm making money with my with my skill.
Why didn't you just save the money? Like the how do you explain a condo? How do you explain all that stuff?
Well, I own four homes and a condo on the ocean, so I had rental incomes. You know, I knew how to manipulate money and funds. You know, in a proper way. The only thing is, I would put, you know, $50,000 to $100,000 into a house after I bought it, so I would fix it up with my dirty cash. You know. But, you know, I mortgaged them all. They were all mortgaged to the hilt. So when the fucking government pulled the plug on me, they go, whoosh, they went down the tank, half of them.
We just went to Vegas. Me for not as long. But Joey said he likes when I go because I get so happy. And when you were talking about taking the limos to Atlantic City and then changing your money by playing in the casino, how much money were you going with, and what would you play, and how did that feel?
Well, so amazing. Well, you got about $40,000 in cash in a bag, and you got a limousine, and you just cut out of work early. That's only late. I made a collar, and I'll see you tomorrow. Okay, good luck. You know, back then you couldn't get tracked with cell phones and all that shit. You know, you get in a fucking limo and you head off to Atlantic City. You take out tens and twenties and fifties and bundles, and you just start unloading it and playing cards, spending money like a fool. Nice time, you know. And then there's times when I only have like maybe $25,000, whatever. It's just money that's not yours. It's money that's not yours, but it is now. And it's fucking joy. You know what it's like.
It's even hard to believe, to count the money. I can't believe you guys are going down there and washing half of it, just trading in small bills. It was a great time. And that's the reason why I love
people.
You
made a lot of money
because you're not sitting there with a fucking Bible saying this and that. You're going out there, you're putting it out there on your arm and your sleeve, man. You made a mistake. Like I said yesterday, I love you to death for it. I love that you're honest. A lot of people wouldn't have been honest. I love Walter's honesty. I love even Kevin's honesty, Chicky's honesty. Yeah. I love your emotion at the end when you describe, you know, your love for Kevin and what had happened.
Teddy.
I saw the, when you really got fucked up on the booze and stuff like this. This is the height of your fucked upness.
Right.
The inside of you, the Irish Catholic side of you, couldn't even deal with what was going on. It was too fast. So the only way to make it go by is to drink, get your dick sucked, and keep stealing.
Right. Keep
That's going. The only thing that covers that hole. Right. That's what you people understand. When you see a hooker and she's beat up and she's 60 and she's still sucking dick and she's finally got an apartment, she's sucking dick to fucking bang that hole. Right. It's not for the money. Right. It's not for the fame. It's not for nothing. So at one point, you're snorting coke for that hole. You don't even like snorting coke no more.
No.
You don't even like staying up past 11.
No.
You're doing all this doing shit to fill the hole. And I could see all these things. Yeah. And I could see the same characteristics I had. And that's why I love this whole
I would be
thing,
listening to the fucking birds tweeting as I'm falling asleep. Okay, I can go to sleep now. The birds are starting to fucking tweet. It's 5:30 in the morning. I'm like, oh, my son will be on my lap in 25 minutes.
And your heart's beating, and on your mind, you're thinking about the guy you robbed, and maybe there was a camera up the block. Mike, how do people find you? TheMikeDowd.com?
Right,
and
sure.
The Mike Dowd on Twitter. What do you got on TheMikeDowd.com?
Well, you go on and you see what we're up to. I'm doing speaking engagements. I'm involved in some projects with some entertainment projects, and the cigar project is on there. I mean, all the things we're into up to are being unlisted on there. But you know, follow me on Twitter. I've been doing a lot of traveling lately, and a lot of people that I love, I can't quite answer back all the time. So I could just shout out when I'm on Twitter, say hello. I'll try to answer everybody. I do what I can. Yeah.
Thank you very much for coming out.
Thanks for having me. You guys treated me like royalty. I want to say so. Okay.
So let me give a shout out to the sponsor. The sponsor for this show, as always, is On It, world-class leader in supplements. One of my all-time favorites, and people always send me their stuff, and I still love the hemp force protein, the chocolate. Still my fucking favorite. Had one today before fucking kettlebell class with a banana in it and water. Still my fucking favorite. You understand me? Still love the fucking shroom tech sport. Still love the fucking acai vanilla when I have it. I don't even really ask them for a lot of it. I just love what they have. Do me a favor. Go to onit.com right now. You like something, you like a supplement, go to the Box and Press Inn
Church
and get 10% off your first order delivered right to your door, okay? It's that fucking easy to change your life. Whether you're going with the Alpha Brain, where you get 100% money back guarantee, to the T to raise your testosterone levels, all this stuff, Aubrey goes out of his way to give you the best quality ingredients money could buy. Listen, go to Honor.com right now and press in
Church
and get 10% off your first order delivered right to your door. They also have the Stay On a program. Something I looked into and was very interesting was I've always believed in meditation. Do I do it? Fuck no, because you forget about it. You overlook it. When I went to Boulder, I had problems, and on Monday nights, I would go to this place up in Chautauqua when they did walking meditation. And also, I got a call one day from a friend of mine. He goes, listen, these guys heard you talk about it, and they want to... you to talk about their product, which is Headspace. So let's be honest. Most of your problems start with your mind. This thing I'm going through lately at night, when I go to bed at night and I, for some reason I can't breathe out of my nose and I get this anxiety and I wake up and I have to walk around for 10 minutes and then drink NyQuil or some shit to go back to sleep. All these things, they start in your mind. Fear, anger, stress, anxiety, depression, sleeplessness, they begin in your head, but they can wreck your life. Right now, I'm not getting the sleep I should be getting. The bags under my eyes, you can see it. But it doesn't have to be that way. You can make a major difference in just 10 minutes a day. This change comes through guided meditation with the new Headspace app. Headspace is a meditation made simple. It's guided meditation you listen to whenever you want, wherever you want, right on your phone, computer, or tablet. Meditation is rooted in thousands of years of tradition with thousands of scientific studies that show the positive effects like improving focus, relationship harmony, and decreasing anxiety and stress. Join over 4 million users already getting some Headspace for free right now. Do me a favor. Download the free Headspace app and begin their 10-take program for 10 days of guided meditation at headspace.com/Joey. That's right. Download the free Headspace app and begin their Take 10 program for the 10 days of guided meditation at headspace.com/Joey. The Headspace Take 10 program is a 100% free way to experience the benefits of meditation in your busy modern life. Train your mind for a healthier, less stressed life. Start your free trial today at headspace.com/Joey. That's headspace.com/Joey. I want to thank Mike Dowd for being on the show again. I want to thank my main man, Lee. I'll be at the San Jose Improv March 11th. I think I don't know when the fuck it is. March 11th through the 13th. Just check it out. I'll be up there with Dean Del Rey. So I'll see you motherfuckers next Monday. We'll be back. Lee Syatt. Take this motherfucker.
This show is brought to you by Headspace. Go to headspace.com/Joey and download the Headspace app and start the Headspace Take 10 program, a 100% free way to experience the benefits of meditation in your busy and modern life. Also, go to onnit.com and use code word CHURCH to get 10% off all their great optimization products like Alpha Brain and New Moon.